All right, we're live. We've been talking about doing this for a while.
We have.
I'm glad we finally pulled it off.
It's about time.
What are you doing in town?
I came here and did a little surfing. Started off the plane. Then I had to do a UFC thing where I did a trained Blake Griffin this afternoon.
Oh, okay. I saw that picture.
Yeah. We were mixing it up, MMA. He's showing me how to dunk over a car, and I was teaching him how to whip some ass.
When we see a guy like that, that's like a giant athlete like that, don't you want to go, man?
You have a fucking great radio voice. I've never heard
the radio voice?
Well, your stand-up, you're fucking, and now you're like...
And this now is my conversation
voice.
Well, if we were at dinner, I'd have the same voice.
Okay, gotcha. All right. Okay. You're like, and next on the stage.
Destiny coming to the main stage. $14 kamikazes. Nice and smooth. Right. When you see like a dude like that, do you want to tell him, man, with that fucking body, you could be heavyweight champion of the world?
That's what I was telling him. I was like, you're huge. Grips, like everything about you was just massive. But, you know, when we were like doing some under-overs and some like wrestling, and I think he was kind of like letting me, like I felt like he was like limping arming me. I was like, you little pussy, like fucking man, give me, you know what I mean? Like, don't fucking big brother me right now. Like, don't give me the oh, I'm just a little kid. So then once I fucking gave him that talk, then he stepped it up a little bit. I was like, yeah, don't do that to me, motherfucker. Right. I'm a grown ass man. I'm fucking 6 foot tall. I'll fuck you up. So don't limp arm me right now. So I had to tell him. So yeah.
It's funny because you are 6 foot tall, but when you look stand next to him, you're like, Jesus fucking Christ,
bro. Yeah.
How tall is that dude?
He's 6'10".
Jesus Christ.
6'10", man. Yeah. It was funny. You know, I was telling him like how you're so coordinated on the court, and then you put some fucking gloves on, and you can't. What the fuck? Like, one, two. Like, we were just going, like, come
on.
It's
a whole different thing, man. Yeah,
and then he had his management come up to me and tell me he doesn't want a knee or kick. And so, of course, we fucking need a kick because you can't tell me what you can't do.
Does he have fucked up knees or something?
Well, who knows? I have no idea. But he didn't want to be embarrassed. Like, when you do something that you're not good at,
right,
you don't
want to
do it in front of people, especially cameras. And, you know, so he, we did it.
A lot of those guys have fucked up knees, right?
A lot of our guys have fucked up knees.
Everybody has fucked up knees.
Look how big he is. Huge.
That's a giant dude. Yeah, if you could teach that guy how to kick, Jesus Christ.
Fucking knee. I mean, the dude can dunk over a car. So, like, jump. So, a jump knee, it was fun.
Yeah, I can only imagine. But those guys, there's so much more money in the NBA, and you don't have to get your ass kicked.
Well, that's what I told him. I said, hey, man, I need you to go to the NBA and tell them you guys need enforcers like hockey. I'll be your man, you know what I'm saying? So you tell me, you go out there and say, yo, cowboy fucking number 23 keeps hitting me in the ribs, you know, I don't like that. And I'll go out there and I'll just ice the fool right there on the middle of the court.
It is weird that hockey is the only sport where you're allowed to beat people up in the middle of the game.
Yeah, my buddy Scott Parker, I mean, he is the enforcer for the Colorado Avs. Well, he's retired now, but I mean, that was his job. So, you know, he would tell me he was like mentally had to prepare. Like, him and I talk a lot about just the preparation of fighting and how he'd get game ready because he knew he was fighting whoever was the other enforcers, or he'd be ready. And it's cool, like, interacting with him in that sense. But yeah, they like promote it like, oh, you're messing with my goalie, or oh, you're so they send out the enforcer. Like,
it's because it's Canadian.
What a cool job.
It's a great job.
Fuck, like, Joe. Get him in here. Get him. You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck? How cool is
that? It's just funny that no other sport, I mean, any other sport, if you fight, you're not just ejected for the game. You're subject to penalties. You might get suspended. In hockey, it's a normal thing.
Yeah, I mean, if for instance, if Blake just hauled off and jump kneed someone's whole face off in the middle of the game, that would be huge, and then they'd be in big trouble.
Do you think it's because hockey, like, they're not that stable because you're on skates? Like, it takes a lot of fucking skate knowledge to be able to brawl while you're on skates. I can barely fucking stand on skates. I don't know how to ice skate.
No.
I'm terrible at it.
I did it about 2 years ago and thought I was cool, tried to do the hockey stop, fucking caught the edge, bam, assed out on the fucking ice, and that was the end of my hockey dream. So
yeah, I'm not a skater.
Fighting, yeah, I have no idea. So,
well, I would imagine if you could teach a dude, like a dude who's like a figure skater, teach him some like real good kicks, you could fuck somebody up. But you're not allowed to do that, right? You can't just like figure skate wheel kick someone's fucking head off.
Juggler done.
Yeah.
No. I don't think they can raise either knee or anything. They can't bring any, the skates off.
Keep your feet down.
God damn,
what about a Superman punch? Wouldn't be effective. They wouldn't even know that you were throwing a kick.
I mean, unless you came at him like Thor, like, you know, Thor in the movie, Troy. And just fucking iced him, you know what I mean? So, like a trick, Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it would have to be something no one expected.
Have to, yeah.
It is just weird that they don't have that in basketball. If, like, basketball becomes less and less popular, maybe they would have to bring it in.
So, well, did you know in hockey, the enforcers can't wear a face mask?
Oh, really?
They can only wear a helmet with no guard. It's like a penalty if they do.
That's interesting. Yeah. So they can't take punishment. That makes sense.
Yeah. I mean,
so like if one guy had it on and one guy didn't.
Exactly. So they both not have it. But still, they just grab and just throttle, punch through the plastic, and that's insane, right?
Like, yeah, it is kind of insane.
Insane.
Yeah, it's a fucked up job. That's a weird gray area sport. But I think a lot of it is also because it's Canadian. Canada, they're just... There's more men up there.
All right,
it's
like, I'll give you that.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure, sure.
It's like there's a lot of pussies in America. I mean, there's a lot of men in America.
A lot of pussies in America.
There's a lot of pussies, yeah. And in Canada, I think fist fights are more a normal thing.
Like, think about if we were back pre-biblical and we were in a... Like
pre-biblical.
Now,
Jesus.
Right?
I'm talking, okay, I'm going to throw my head in there.
You're wrapping around with this, right?
Pre-biblical. Pre-biblical, okay.
And... all these pussies. You think how many women us alpha males would have? We would just go and, like, I think I'm going to take your girl and just beat his ass. And
the problem with that is you could never fucking sleep. Those days, man, like the Mongol days and shit, like, well, you never sleep. You know, you would hear footsteps. You're like, oh, fucking great. You look out your window. There's 1,000 dudes on horses coming over the hill.
Yeah, I wish a motherfucker would. I just...
But those wish I motherfucker would days, the Mongols, they're fucking just shooting arrows. No one has a gun.
Right.
They're fucking launching people on catapults. Those kind of fights take a long time.
So we don't have, you know, maybe they just barely came with arrows. Swords, definitely. But
when did they figure out arrows? Like all those, like the arrows are on the hieroglyphs, right? So that's like 2000 BC, at least. Because I think the pyramid is 2,500 BC. I think they dated that. So I think if you're talking about when was the invention of the fucking arrow, I should probably know this. I bow hunt. I should know this. But I have no idea. It's a long ass time ago. Yeah, they figured out a few things first, right? Yeah. They figured out like spears, and then they figured out catapults probably. That was probably next. Bows and arrows.
Trebuchet, right?
What is that?
Isn't that a catapult? Like a trebuchet? Isn't
that what it's called? A trebuchet?
Can you Google it? Trebuchet? I'm saying it wrong. Trebuchet? That was a fucking quick Google.
That's not bad. Trebuchet. That's the original catapult.
You're fucking telling me
God
I just screwed.
Damn, son. Look at you.
Motherfucker, what?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's even spelled the way you pronounced it. It's
all
perfect.
All loose lipped like
trebuchet with a mouthful of skull. What do you got there? What is that stuff?
Copenhagen long cut, wintergreen.
Is that stuff dangerous for you? Is that bad for you?
Probably not any more dangerous than marijuana. I don't know.
Marijuana is not dangerous for you at all.
But
how dare you, sir?
I don't feel like that is either.
But that stuff doesn't that like chew people's faces off and shit?
Probably
this
could.
Is one dude who shows up at little kids' schools to warn them of the dangers of chewing tobacco and is missing half his face. I remember that dude on TV. He had bone cancer in his face. I don't mean to freak you out.
No, you're not freaking me out. I'm going out with my boots on, baby. So.
Wow. So if it's face cancer from skull, you're good.
If face cancer from skull, I'm going to call up Red Bull and tell him, hey, I'm going to be the first guy to jump out of the astronaut thing you got there. I don't need to shoot. I'm just going in head first. So bring it on.
Jesus Christ.
That's my mentality, though, Joey. Like, if I got in a car accident and lost a leg or an arm, I'd tell him, pull the plug right there. Shoot me. I'm done.
One leg.
Oh, man, it'd be tough. It'd be tough.
They got some good prosthetics now. A lot of these guys that come back from Iraq and Afghanistan, they do marathons now.
Poor little
it's
pink.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible, though, isn't it?
It really is, man. But God damn, it'd be... Yeah.
You were real close. There's a couple... They sequenced the gene of the flatworm recently, and they're looking to try to figure out, because the flatworms can regenerate... Like, you cut them in half, they become two completely different flatworms. I think they also have the same memories. Like, if one flatworm knows where the food is and you cut them in half, the both halves know where the food is. So it's very confusing to them because they're trying to figure out, like,
what is that, memories, or is that just, you know, like,
It's a good question. I think specifically what they know and the way they know it, they believe that it's a memory. some type of a memory, obviously a crude memory. But they think that they're going to be able to figure out within the next 100 years how to replace limbs, that you're going to be able to regenerate it the way a frog does or an alligator does.
Think about that in the next 100 years. Think about what. Think about this iPhone 6 here in the next. I mean,
it's nothing. Yeah, it's a
remember,
joke.
Do you remember the flip phone and the T9 texting?
You were so happy with it too.
You know,
back then.
Speaking of that, do you know? I mean, you have kids, so. Do you remember when you were 15, 16, you had the call like, hey, Mr. Rogan, is Sarah there? Can I talk? 9 o'clock, phone off. You know what I mean? Those days are gone. Our kids will never have to
unless you know take the their phone. Well, you have take to the take phone. Their phone.
But do you even have a landline at home?
Yeah, I got a landline, but it's useless. Never use it.
Okay. So, I mean, it's
most
just,
people are like that, right? I mean, you have a landline just like in case. But, you know.
I have a landline because I live in the middle of nowhere, and that's the only way I can get internet. There's like a hamster that runs on a wheel, and ever fast he's running, it powers up my Wi-Fi, and it's terrible. I can't even play.
Do you have like one of those satellite internet connections?
It's a phone line.
No.
Oh, it's bad.
No. Like 56K? Like one of those things?
It's like.
You can't do anything better?
If I wanted to download a podcast, I'd have to start the download before I went to bed, and maybe by noon the next day it'll be done.
What?
Yeah, I got like 48-hour download movie time, so I got to really plan the movie I want for a flight.
Netflix is ridiculous.
Oh, Netflix? No. Well, cannot load a Netflix.
You know, they have satellite internet now.
Not where
get,
I live.
It's no, it. But no, you can get it all over the country.
Really?
Yeah. It's like just like DirecTV. They just point the dish at the satellite in the sky, and it's not fast as like fiber optic,
right.
But it's pretty fast.
I'm going to look into this.
Yeah, you got to get that.
What I got going on is
that's no
pre-biblical.
Yeah, that sounds horrifying. You're living like a couple of decades ago.
Yeah, I am. It's
and there's nothing they can do. They can't lay wires or anything like that.
No.
No,
they don't have it out there in my area yet. I've tried. I'm going to look into that satellite gig.
Where are you at now?
Edgewood, New Mexico, right on the like backside of Santa Fe, Albuquerque.
And you're there because of Jackson's? Because you could be close to Jackson's?
That's why. Well, I moved to Albuquerque to help Lena Garcia with the Roger Huerta fight, and I never left. I literally called my grandma. Hi, Grandma. She's watching right now live, so I'll give a shout out to my grandma.
Hi, Grandma.
I literally showed up for Leonard for a week, and then Greg asked me to be his 55er, and I never left. I had a house in Colorado. My grandma took care of everything, brought all my stuff down, and just drove, like, would slowly come visit me and bring things down. I never went home.
Wow.
It was wild, yeah. So,
why was that? You just liked it so much there?
Yeah, I don't... You know, in Colorado, I was, like, kind of the... At the gyms, I was kind of the kid that no one would put a name on. Like, no one would claim me, right? I was like...
Really?
Oh, man, it was a hard time. You know, that's where the whole BMF ranch and, like, me giving back to people came from. Because I would drive here, go here, do this. No one would put their name on me. Like, Dwayne, I'd train with him, but he would never put his name on me. You know, none of the gyms would, like, claim me. I was just... Well, I was a fuck-up, you know, and... It was weird. So when
was
I
that to, what it was? Just you're young.
It was probably
crazy.
me crazy. Yeah, you know. And
they were like, "This dude, I can't have this guy fighting for me."
Exactly. He's a loose cannon.
Too crazy.
So I went on to Greg. He like took me in, and like at that time, George and Keith Jardine and Rashad. It was like a family down there. It was crazy. You know, it was all of them were so welcoming. And so I said, "This is it. This is where I'm gonna make my move." And so,
you train there, but you also built this crazy ranch, Bad Motherfucker Ranch.
Yeah, that's it,
which is pretty awesome.
I love it.
You did that.
I love it.
So, what made you decide to do that?
I wanted a place where I could ride my four wheeler, shoot my guns, and all that. So I looked at the city limits and land that I got in Edgewood to buy in Colorado would have been out of control, outrageous. So you know, I told my grandfather this is where I want to went. My grandfather said, done. I mean, on a phone call, my grandpa said, done. This is what you want? Got it. Drove down with cash in hand, bought me the property. Just
really?
Like, oh, man, it was the greatest dude on the planet, man. So, and I started training there, and him and my grandma would come down, and you're going to get me fucking teary-eyed now, but, you know, it was like a dream for me. And so now I'm rooted, and so...
Did you build out there? Was there a structure already there?
There was a house, right? And we extended the house, built the gym. Now I just built dorms, which if you're going to build anything, anyone listening, make sure you get your permits because I, of course, didn't because I'm a fucking idiot, loser, and wild. So I got a big red flag notice on my door. Said, need to get your permits done. Got a picture here. You want to see it?
Yeah, I do want to see it. So what do they do? Does it delay you any further because of red flags?
It's a cease and desist. Don't...
Well, they don't want... Oh, Jesus, that is a red flag. Yeah. Whoa.
So notice I had to jump through.
Notice the stop work.
Notice the stop work. Bam. So bam. I had to jump the hoops, you know, go
hire
spend
somebody.
All, no, I had to hire anyone. I had to spend all day. I had to go to the Santa Fe County and really, like, get everything in line, show my plans, blah, 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 pay the money, and basically get the ball rolling for the permit.
Permits.
I got it done now. So
there's places out here, like, if you want to build something in, like, Malibu near the ocean, it takes fucking years. And you got to go through all sorts of red tape, and there's yeah. corruption and nonsense you have to deal with.
Exactly. So I just built it, and I shouldn't have. I
have a buddy who lives in Topanga. He's yeah. under the Coastal Commission. And he just said, fuck it. If they catch me, they catch me. And he just built, did all this shit to his house. Spent a fuckload of money on his house and just got away with it.
Yeah.
You know? You can get away with it.
You can. With a slippery...
You can also get
yeah,
busted.
You can also get busted.
With
then
fucking
you pay
wires
money.
Hanging out of your wall. Stop work.
That's it.
Get fined. And then never get permits for years.
So I tried to, like, you know, let people learn from my mistakes. I'm kind of the learn trial by fire. That's kind of how I've lived my whole life.
So how many dorms did you build out there?
Well, as of right now, it's a glorified horse stable. So there's no dorms being built.
Because of the work or stoppage.
Stoppage, yeah.
So you have to wait till you get a permit again.
Yeah, so now it's a horse stable. Because there is a horse stable underneath, giant horse stable. And then I built rooms that I'm probably going to paint in, hold my archery gear in. I got a whole bunch of beds that I need to store in a couple, and I got guys that come out that I'll probably store in some of those rooms with the beds.
Do you think that this is like what's going to be your transition after you're done fighting, that you'll eventually just run a camp?
I don't know, Joe. I just, you know, teaching to me. Like, if you and I were doing something, I could show you something you had a problem with. But for me to, like, come in and teach a class would be really hard. I don't know how that fucking even works like that, but, you know, that's
how. What would be hard about it?
Like, maybe getting a curriculum or right. having, like, something that I thought out, like, oh, okay, I'm going to teach this, this, and this today. I don't know.
I see what you're saying. So, maybe if you had somebody that, like, kind of organized it for you and you
right.
just came in and, or, you know, have guys like Henry or someone who's,
right.
like, a coach already.
Yeah.
Work with them. Like, Winklejohn and Jackson work together.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I have a great, you know, Jafari and Super D Wrestling, one of my great friends and coaches, you know, he lives out there with me, helps me, he trains all the guys, and we got, you know, Henry training with the Thai guy. So we have a good, you know, good stable of coaching and just bringing guys in, man. Like I said earlier, I didn't know I have any direction. So now when people come, I want to be the guy, like, they ask me, what do you do for sponsorship? Well, now it's $3. We don't have a fucking choice. But before,
right.
I have to be like, hey, these guys were no go. They didn't pay. They didn't do this. You know, just like experiences I've had through my career. And what do you do for cutting weight? What do you do for this? What do you do for that? It's just cool to be able to answer all the questions for the up and coming guys, you know?
Yeah. It's got to be a cool thing to be able to help guys in a way that, like, you wish somebody had helped you, right?
Absolutely.
Because it's like there's a real an area in the beginning of a fighter's career, especially, where they don't feel legitimate. And sometimes a guy like you taking him in and saying, hey, man, like what you're doing with Felder.
Right.
You know, a guy who's a real talented guy.
Very talented
real
kid,
tough
yes.
guy. You take him in, and then, boom, all of a sudden, he's legit as fuck.
Yeah.
And that's what everybody's saying, too. It's like everybody's saying, oh, he trains with Donald. Oh,
right.
shit. Okay.
I mean, that's kind of exactly like that. And there's a lot of guys that come that, when you come, I want to be able to put my name on you, you know what I mean? So work with you, train with you, have the coaches work with you, because when you say that you're from our stable, that's what I want it to be, you know, a legit person.
Right.
Yeah,
how did you hook up with Henry Smith?
Through Baltimore, man. We just kind of crossed paths years ago. And
where did you get the name Rude Boy? What's that? Rude Boy Muay Thai?
I wish I had an answer for that, but I don't. I don't know. I don't have
I like that dude, though. He's a great coach, too.
Sure,
very
absolutely.
Calm and smooth in the corner. Like, you could tell a lot about a guy and how he gives instruction in
sure.
a corner.
Absolutely.
He's calm and smooth. He's like, can I please get this? Can I please get that? Thank you very much. But he also is very technical. He's real technical in his instruction. Like, as a guy who watches a lot of fights, nothing drives me crazier than when someone doesn't have advice. You know,
yeah.
and they're like, go get him, go kick his ass. Like,
that'd be
oh,
like
well.
Me cornering Leonard. Fuck him up, Leonard!
But for Leonard, you in the corner, like, that is kind of technical advice. You know, Leonard's one of my all-time favorite guys to watch.
God
he
damn
just,
it.
God damn
he's
that dude
he's a dying breed,
wild.
Man. You know, the firefighter, a dying breed, you know?
And yeah.
When Leonard was at his, you know, talking about retirement with me and everything, he's like, man, I just wish I could get a fight where someone would just stand there and fucking throw down with me. And I'm like, Leonard, brother, those days are gone. These guys
yeah.
are going to come in and take you down. He's like, yeah, but no, I think this guy's going to stand. I'm like, no, Leonard, he's going to take you down, you know? So that we'd have to go back and forth that. Then the kid would take him down, you know, because he hates wrestling and practicing wrestling. But that's where the sport's going, you know? So,
well, the sport's going in this method that, like, in order, or this place where in order to win, you got to be able to do everything and be totally unpredictable. And you got to be able to fight smart and not put yourself in danger. And Leonard was all about just throwing himself into danger.
Peeling the stickers off the mats with the punches. Right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he would throw it from the back of his calf.
Oh, I loved it. I mean, but those are the fights the Jens Pulver and Leonard Garcia fight.
Yeah.
Man.
Wild.
Right?
Oh, Leonard had a bunch of wild ones. So, he had a bunch of, like, when it was over, you just, like, shaking your head like, God, what did I just see?
So the craziest thing, man, when I had that incident at Whole Foods, I don't know if you heard about it or not, when I got punched. Leonard was
somebody punched you, in the parking lot or something?
All
like
right,
that?
So I'll get it out now so everyone, you know. Yeah. So I'm walking across, texting on my phone, and a guy lays on the horn. And my girl's like, who is that? And I look up, I don't know. She's like, you don't know him? I said, no. We walk to the car. The car goes and parks like three spots down. And the dude gets up. He's like, what's up, motherfucker? And I was like, me? You're talking to me? And he's like, yeah, bitch. And I was like, okay. And then just smoked me in my eye, blew my glasses onto the floor. Now, mind you, I'm still in trial for the boat rage incident thing that's going on.
Yeah, the boat one was you head kicked some dude, right?
Allegedly.
Some dude got...
I'll get to that story after the story. Okay. So my girl looks at me and burning fucking fire is raging out of my ears, right?
Right.
And she goes, no, no, right? So I tell this dude, like anybody would, today's your lucky day. The dude's like, oh yeah, motherfucker, I bet, right? And then he hocks up again to hit me again. I said, motherfucker, if you touch me again, I'm going to kill you. Like, I can't take two. I cannot take two.
Right.
Well, Leonard's there, right? And so Leonard goes to hit this dude, and then but he's like all Bible good, doesn't cuss, and he's like, frick you, you know what
I
mean? Like,
no.
Yeah, man, he's like on
frick
this new...
you.
Oh, bro. He's like on this new... So,
boy, the fucking guy get lucky. That guy got so lucky, he probably thinks he's such a badass.
We just literally got training. Done training. So we're in, like, training gear.
Right.
We went to Whole Foods, get some shit to drink. And so he's like, you want to be UFC fighters? What the blah, blah, blah,
oh,
blah.
That's
like,
so hilarious.
Oh, my God, man. So, I just got my car and drove away.
You don't know who that guy is.
I have no clue.
Whoever you are, bitch.
Whoever you are,
you
bitch.
You got lucky as fuck. God,
that was your
damn
lucky day. All right, so anyways, boat rage. Okay, boat rage.
Boat rage.
This is what happened. We're up at Grand Lake. The reason I go to Grand Lake is it's freezing cold. No one goes to Grand Lake to wakeboard because it's cold. People don't like cold water.
Where's Grand Lake?
Colorado, up in the mountains. Fucking super deep, freezing cold lake. But the water's beautiful. So this guy lived there. He's seen my boat, and he told in the police station he's seen us there the week before, and he called it massaging and making love to my boat because, yeah, it's an expensive boat. I fucking take care of it, wax it, make sure it's clean, you know. And
he's upset that you take care of your boat?
I guess. That's what the police report said. So he, my buddy Mikey's fishing off the back of his boat, off the back of my boat. The guy comes in, woo, having fun, playing. He has like a Ski-Doo jet ski boat, and he comes feet away and like sprays water up on Mikey, washes my boat up onto the rocks. Now I got Cody Donovan at the time was fighting in the UFC, and three or four other fighters, nine of us, we were camping out for the weekend, and Cody's irate, like, fuck, let's go get him. The girls settle us down, we don't, right? So later on, about an hour and a half later, we go wakeboarding. Well, with my boat, you got to fill the ballast tanks up, so you have to like kind of sit idle and let the tanks fill. So while we're sitting there idle and the tanks fill, he's down in the area, so we're like sitting there letting the tanks fill. He's like flexing his muscles from the shore, saying, "Which one of you pussies want some, bro?" Out of control. So he gets in his boat and he comes flying up next to my boat. He completely lets go of his steering wheel and runs to the front of his boat, and his boat just goes bink and hits my boat. And I'm like, "Oh my god, dude, what the fuck are you doing?" And he's like, "Which one of you pussies want some shit?" And
we were
like, "What?" So everyone bickering starts happening, blah, 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 blah. Anyways, the dude says, you know what, fuck it, I'm going to run my boat into your boat. He's like wasted drunk. Tears off, flips a bitch, and comes beadlining for my boat. Now, had this not been the situation we were in, I would have congratulated this dude for the most epic fucking water spray I have ever seen thrown into another person's boat, because at the last second, he cuts and throws the most massive wave that just drenches everyone's phone and just, like hits you like a tidal wave. And I was like, I was fucking pissed. So I drive the boat to the shore, and I get off the boat, and I run about 200 yards down the shore trying to get him to come to me. Because my girl stood up and she's like, that's fucking it. And that's all I had to hear. When I heard, when she stood up and, you know, she's like, that's it. That's it. You know what I'm saying? That was it. That was it. That's all I needed to know. Okay, that's it. So I try to get this dude to run to me. He does not. He comes straight from my girl. Gets off his boat. Pointing his finger at her. You know? So I just walk right past, step in front of him. I just front teep him in his stomach, like set him down in the sand. Like, chill the fuck out. A lot of crazy gorilla pounding this dude in the sand is going through my mind.
Right.
I don't. I was training myself. And the dude gets up and tries to hit me with the old sneaker right hand.
Oh, God.
Poof. So I just slip and I head kick him lightly, Joe. When I say lightly, it was very lightly. Like, just like a
right.
Boom. And sit him down. And I'm like, you motherfucker. Don't even know what the fuck I said. He won't get up. Dude won't get up now. So I literally sit down right next to him. I'm like, you fucking, I don't know what to do. And I want to just grill, just rip this dude's heart out, right?
Right.
So I just start backhanding him. Like, bah, bah.
While he's sitting next to him?
While he's sitting next to him. Like, shoulder to shoulder.
What a weird scene.
What a weird dude. It was, and that's the only thing I can, in the fit of rage, I mean, I can think to do. Like, bah. So Cody grabs me, you know, like, enough's enough. And as soon as I do that, the kid rolls over, takes out his phone, takes a picture of me, takes a picture of my boat, everyone.
Oh,
there,
God.
And he dials 911. And I was like, good. Call 911, you fucking idiot. So the dude calls 911. Cops show up. I said, yeah, this dude's drunk. He says, man, I'm only drunk because this dude embarrassed me in front of all of my friends, so I had a drink to get over what had just happened.
What?
Yeah.
How did you embarrass him? By cleaning your boat?
Oh, no, because I head kicked him in front of his friends.
Oh, but that, but before that, the massaging and.
Dude, so he had a lot of people with him. He had like a big camp group. So we go to court, we fight. It's like a 2-year process I'm going through. Oh, all the guys that he's with are their police statements match mine, that he was talking about us all day, 2 weeks. He'd been chasing us down. He wanted a piece of it. So, I mean, it all got dropped and dismissed. But he tried to come out to me for 50 grand, and it was just unbelievable.
Well, it's amazing how nice you were about it. Yeah, a little front kick to the chest and a little head kick?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And what I just told you there is the same story his people told. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. I didn't like just haul off and beat him down, which I think I'm maturing in my.
You are. You are maturing.
I am.
I mean, meaning to tell you that. It's just amazing how people will try to sue over things like that. Like, that becomes like the lottery to them.
Yeah.
Do you know the two guys sued the UFC? Like, people always ask, like, hey, man, can you take a picture choking me? Like, the UFC doesn't want anybody choking anybody in pictures.
I've been told that, so I tell them no.
Chuck Liddell and Matt Hughes were both sued. The Matt Hughes story is kind of hilarious because the guy asked Matt Hughes to put him in a rear naked choke for a picture. So Matt Hughes does, and then the guy says, hey, look, I got evidence. This guy choked me and he hurt me. So he tries to sue. Well, they do an investigation on the guy and find out the guy's a cop.
Right.
And then they dig deeper and find out he's a dirty cop. And the dude winds up getting popped and goes to jail because of that. And the Chuck Liddell one, I'm pretty sure Chuck had to wind up paying something.
Well,
Chuck
was one of the first ones. Three times.
So,
damn. Yeah, my neighbor sued me.
For what?
He said that my dogs attacked his horse.
Did they?
No, absolutely not. Somebody else's dog did, but I was his neighbor, so he said mine. The guy just moved in, and his horse ran through the fence. Well, if you're any kind of a horse owner at all, you can't just move into somewhere and take the reins off your horse and let him go. Well, you have no idea what the perimeter. You need to take your horse out and walk the perimeter. He lets his horse. The horse runs through the fence. He said my dogs chased him through the fence. It was cheaper for me just to pay the guy off than to go to court and fight it.
Oh.
So it's just unbelievable, man.
That kind of shit drives me fucking crazy.
My old roommate, me and Leonard Garcia used to live in, we'd have guys come down for training camp. This lady got us good, man. When I bought this new house, we moved in, she then sued us that we were subleasing our rent out to our training partners.
What?
And $12,000 I had to pay her.
What?
$12,000.
What does she give a fuck? I don't understand it.
She must have been hurting for money.
So she was your old. She owned the house at one point in time?
Did you know who Ricky? He used to work for Jackson's, Gray Jackson's guy.
I probably would if I saw him.
Yeah. Anyway, so the lady's hurting for money, right? She needs to. She's renting us house, her house, the house she's living in. I get Ricky buys her house from her. I tell her, hey, we'll move out now, so you can move back into your house because you're foreclosing. So we make this all work, right? I work with the lady. She's a realtor. I use her as my realtor to buy my ranch. That's how fucking crazy this gets, right? So I use her. We do this. As soon as we get the paperwork done, she turns around and sues us for subleasing our rent out. And my grandma's on it. She can vouch for this.
Jesus
fucking crazy.
Christ.
Yeah, she said that the whole time we were there, we were having people come down to train, and we were renting it out to them and making money off of her property.
Oh, Jesus.
And, of course, I got the notices to go to court. Well, I don't show up to court, so they passed the ruling. And then... So had I went to court, I probably could have fought it, but I didn't. I was like, yeah, whatever.
But even if you do, that takes forever. The problem with those things is, it's like these, do you know what a patent troll is?
Mm-mm.
Patent trolls are, they get patents on things, they buy patents, they own patents, and then they'll sue like a company like Apple. Like they, they were going after podcasters for a while, and what they do is they went after Adam Carolla for something, some sort of patent, and they went after a few other people. But Apple had to wind up paying like $7 million or something like that, because for Apple, they have so much fucking money, yeah. It's easier for them to pay off a patent troll than it is to address it in court and spend all their resources. And they might, like the UFC is doing this, that antitrust lawsuit. They're like, this is going to cost them $100 million in legal fees. But it's either that or pay people off. They'd rather spend the money. They'd rather pay the legal fees.
Yeah. Well, because principle for them.
Well, principle, and also sets a precedent.
Sure.
And if you start paying out, then other people start coming out of the woodwork. But it's a weird world we live in, where you could just sue over shit like that. Alpha Brain, son.
Alpha Brain, son.
Good for you. You got that big ass on it package, right?
Thank God, I love it.
I love the picture you sent of you with the balancing
20
the mace
pound
on your
mace.
Chin.
That's it.
How'd you do that, man?
Well, the balancing of the mace was good, but the holding the fucking kettlebell while doing it was suspect.
How the fuck did you pull that off?
Because I'm fucking super athletic alpha fucking pimp.
Okay, that's a good answer.
I mean, I don't know. And when we were at Elevate, which is a strength conditioning where you guys sent a whole bunch of those maces to, and they were like, you're going to fucking knock your teeth out. And I was like, well, then I'll be a toothless motherfucker, but let's do this.
You're constantly doing shit like that, right? Like,
why
you're
not
constantly wakeboarding, jumping snowmobiles over the top of cliffs?
I can't wait. El Nino, baby? Come on. Colorado's going to be unreal this year. I cannot wait.
Everybody's hoping for that.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's real.
I hope so.
They keep saying that the way the temperature of the water, California's like desperately hoping for it.
I was just surfing it with nothing this morning. It was great.
Oh, it's warm as fuck.
Warm, super warm, yeah.
Well, they have yellowtail. They've had yellowtail all over the coast around Santa Monica and Malibu, which is, usually you got to go out to fucking Hawaii to get those.
Sure.
So they're pretty excited about it. People think that this is going to change, but trying to guess what Mother Nature's going
to
do a few months from now. Good.
Unless you do the farmer's almanac, then you could maybe key in a little.
How the fuck do those work?
I have no idea.
I don't know either.
I don't know either, but they are damn sure on.
They're damn sure on, and I don't. What do they use? What kind of hocus pocus are they using to figure that out?
Maybe the Mayan calendar. I don't know.
That didn't work out, though.
It didn't.
We're still here, 3 years later. We're
here
fine.
Here we are.
I was convinced, dude. Like, way back in 2006, I was like, December 21st, dude. It's 2012.
Done.
It's all done. We're going
to were you on the computer's going to crash at 2000?
Oh, yeah.
Too?
I was hiding. Yeah, when 2000 came around, I was hiding. I stayed at home, stockpiled water, the whole deal. I was listening to Art Bell.
I need to start stockpiling water. I have stockpiled food. I need to do the water.
Why don't you have a well? You're
well,
on the middle
of well,
nowhere.
But the problem is the wells suck. Wells suck.
Not that good? No?
I
had a well in Colorado, and it was really good.
Well, for you, but if you have 20 people come to your house and take showers,
they just can't
keep up.
Yeah.
So you had to bring...
And then your water heaters and everything like that. You're out there. Like, are you on solar?
No, I wish. I need to be.
Yeah,
I'm on propane.
Solar.
Oh,
are
so
you
get,
really?
So here's
oh,
the
oh no,
here's
you
the,
have like a giant fucking white tank.
Three
one
of them.
Those things.
Three
oh,
of them.
Fucking Christ!
And if some asshole comes and trains at my house and forgets to turn the heater off in the gym, $1,500 overnight.
Oh no!
And then I come in the house, fucking ripping and roaring. Who the fuck? And everyone's like, "Wasn't me."
Of course.
Wasn't me.
$1,500 to keep the
propane,
especially in the winter, right?
And the funny thing is, the propane company is like, "Oh, you don't want to pay? We won't bring any more propane. We don't give a shit."
Oh god!
So you have to. You got to keep warm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah.
Fuck
yeah.
That, dude. You should have a fireplace in that gym.
Right. Then who's gonna stoke it? Like you're the
stalker. Go split the wood and stalk the fireplace.
Do you have wood out there? Do you have like forest?
Ah, no forest. We got cacti.
Cacti? Can you cook cacti in a fucking? Not really,
no,
right?
No, I'd be goddamn wonder if you can get some peyote out of it. I don't know.
Well, you'd have to have a very specific
cactus. Because we are.
San Pedro.
Is that what it is?
Yeah,
dude,
San Pedro.
I have
cactus.
No idea, but we're in the. That's where they do it in Young Guns.
Oh yeah. Well, not only that.
Tent Rock, where they film. You're in the Spirit Road, asshole. That's miles down the road from me.
That is where.
Yeah.
That's yeah, that's where they, you know, there's only that they only were doing that for the last couple hundred years. Like everybody thinks that was like thousands of years old. No evidence that the Native Americans were using peyote more than a couple hundred years. But
marijuana, peyote. Okay. What are they like? Let's just smoke this shit up. Who's the guinea pig on that?
It's a good question.
Like peyote, like, oh, let's just boil some cactus and oops, now I'm fucking tripping. So that was cool.
This is a real good question. There's a lot of those things out there that, like, how the fuck did they ever figure that out? Like
meth, yeah. Like, oh, battery acid, and like, cool, let's fucking
Tylenol
smoke
and
this.
Shit.
Yeah, gross.
Get cold medicine.
You meth users out there, ixnay, boys, yucky.
Well, there's very few good cooks. That's why, you know, Breaking Bad made a lot of sense. You know, you need a real fucking chemist.
You need a chemist.
But, like, the ayahuasca one is a crazy one. They've been using that for, like, 10,000 years. You got to take the leaves of one plant and
is that what
the
Aubrey,
vine.
Your buddy
of a,
does?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
About?
Yeah. And they boil it down. It's DMT in a drinkable form, because otherwise DMT, the only way you could take it is you have to.
I've experienced DMT in real life.
Yeah?
Yeah, when I had my accident. When my guts were hanging out of me, I remember.
What happened with your guts?
So that's why I got this giant scar.
What is that?
I wrecked a four-wheeler.
Yeah?
And broke all my ribs. And anyway, I was in the hospital. Took the flight for life to the hospital. And I remember laying in the gurney. They had me strapped down because I was a fucking lunatic. And I remember tipping the gurney over and I had to throw up. And I threw up blood all over this poor nurse. And she, like, did this little weird, oh god, I just got blood thrown up on me action. Whoa. And then I remember they set me back up and it was like the most peaceful feeling of, like, everything was just okay, like no pain, fucking like dying was okay, like, as stupid as that sounds and crazy, like it was just okay. I felt the best I've ever felt in my life.
Wow.
It was like supernatural, man. It was crazy. Like I was in so much pain, like so I'm in the goddamn ambulance. They're taking me, and there's a new guy in there. So my lungs are punctured. So they have this huge needle, and the guy's telling the other guy how to fucking, because I guess you puncture your lung and then your air comes back, right? And the guy's like walking the new guy through, and I was like, fuck no. Well, I'm like, you know, I can't really say fuck no, but yeah, I was like, no, you do it.
Right.
Yeah,
don't get the new
don't
guy
get the
to
new,
work on my
not
lungs.
Today, not today, motherfucker. So, but anyway, I tipped the gurney over, so much pain, and they write me back up, and everything was just okay. It like went like this crystally blue haze, and I woke up like 2 weeks later, strangling my grandma.
2 weeks later? So you were in a coma?
Yeah, well, it was like a medical induced, yeah.
Wow.
Maybe
Jesus.
Not 2 weeks.
How old were you when this happened?
It was 2006, June something of 2006. My grandma was, yeah, and I remember.
So you were already fighting in the WEC at this time, were you? When did you start fighting?
No, I was
2009?
So talk about me doing crazy shit that I probably shouldn't because I get hurt and I don't want to be able to fight. I did this giant kickboxing thing, won a world title, and I won a spot to go fight in front of the king of Thailand. And I was supposed to leave that weekend that I went out racing motocross. And
wow.
So missed that fucking boat, but hey.
Well, that boat is not very, there's not a lot of money in fighting for the king of Thailand anyway.
No, but I mean, the kickboxing, the only reason I got into fighting was because, A, I love, it was like my favorite thing to do, and the whole world still is, but I would just see the world. They'd call me, and I was the guy they would call, you know, everyone talks about taking short notice fights, like, Calby, you're crazy. Like, man, I used to take fights on 3 days notice. I'm taking them on 4 weeks now. I'm fucking good. So they'd call me. I was their guy. They'd call and be like, hey, we need you in Japan. It's Wednesday, when you're there Saturday. And I'm like, cool, let's go. And I'd go, and fucking me and my buddy Mike Baldwin, who's like my best friend still to this day, who comes to every one of my fights, would get off the plane, hit Roppongi. I don't know if Roppongi is like, mm-hmm. yeah, the party. And I remember sometimes I was so hungover for weigh-ins that I'm like trying to like drink Gatorades and recoup my brain just to weigh in.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So and fighting, which is something I did to pay for my trip to go see the world.
Right.
So fun. Those days were, I still live them today. You know, fighting me, people make such a big deal of it. I see like Felder's a perfect example, man. They take it so serious. Fighting is not that serious.
Felder takes it too seriously?
Too serious, man. That's one thing I try and teach these guys. Like, man, you drink beer, you fucking alcoholic, you piece of shit. That's what I hear all the time. Yeah, so what? I drink beer. I like to drink beer. Cool, refreshing Budweiser. See that? You got that, man. I like to drink beer. I like to have a good time, but people take it, they quit their life.
Right.
8 weeks. They're like, can't eat that, can't do this, can't go out.
Right.
I have this huge fight in my life. How is it the biggest fight of your life? I mean, it's the same, like this Dos Anjos fight coming up January or December 19th, Orlando, Florida, world title. Biggest fight of my life. Goddamn right, I'm going to drink beer and fucking have a good time and probably get there 10 days early and go wakeboarding and go to Epcot. Oh my God, why not?
So you're just going to treat it like it's any other part of your life?
Yeah, because back in the day when I used to fight, it'd be on 2-3 days' notice. I had nothing to worry about. It's just a fight. I love it.
But would you worry about an incident happening, like the incident that kept you from going and fighting for the King of Thailand? I mean, that's the real... I mean, the big thing is to win the title, right? Most guys, when they get to your position, they kind of start playing it safe. That's the difference between you and a lot of these guys. Because a lot of guys are wild in the beginning.
Sure.
But then somewhere along the line, they start realizing the consequences and the stakes, and they start playing it safe.
Yeah, I just thought a play-it-safe kind of guy. Yeah, I could go wakeboarding the week of the fight and blow my knee out. Sure. I'll probably still fight.
With a blown knee.
Sure.
Just tape that bitch up.
Tape it up.
See what's up.
Just a couple shots of Jack. Get a cortisone. Get it going.
A couple shots of Jack. I was thinking of cortisone. Well, there's all sorts of shit they can do now to sort of help you a little bit short term.
Sure.
But blown out knees, never a good time.
No. I mean, I've had a couple blown out knees. But
how many have you had any surgeries other than the stomach?
No surgeries. Thank
That's
God.
Amazing.
Yeah. In fact, my last fight, I was supposed to get an MRI on my knees, and I had an MRI on my chest because my fucking ribs were so separated. And I made it very crystal clear to the UFC, I will go get this MRI. But regardless of the outcome, it comes. I'm still fighting. Is that okay with you guys? And they said yes, so I was like, fine.
They wanted you to get an MRI?
Yeah.
You wanted to get it?
They wanted me to.
They wanted you to get it.
So
you were complaining of some pain maybe, or you were realizing there was something wrong?
Yeah, I had like my chest was super separated. Like I couldn't even take a break. Just pop, 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 like my solar plexus. So, went to Dallas and I went and trained with some kids in a gym, and a dude threw a knee with no shin pad and just crushed me in my solar plex and like separated it bad. So like,
what fight was this for?
The Medeski fight. So
really?
The last fight.
Damn.
The one that was supposed to be with Khabib that he pulled out for the third fucking time. So
that guy gets hurt a lot. His knees are all fucked up.
Fucked up.
Well, a lot of those guys that are fucking like Kane,
right?
A lot of those fucking guys are super strong mentally, just ridiculously aggressive. Those guys wind up blowing shit out. Like, Kane's blowing out his knee. He's blowing out his shoulder. Both shoulders had surgeries on him.
Fuck.
Yeah. That style of fighting, especially that intense grappling style.
Right.
Like, there's way less injuries in kickboxing and in stand-up striking. Like, boxing. How many fucking fights get canceled in boxing? It's rare as fuck, right?
Very rare.
Very rare.
How many fights has Mayweather said, I can't pull? Yeah.
Almost, I don't know. I can't remember a big fight ever. I mean, it would have to be something severe. And usually it's like during strength and conditioning training or something, you know, running or something maybe.
Yeah, sure.
But it's very rare that someone pulls out of a box, or they'd have to break their hand or something like that. But it's rare.
Yeah.
But in MMA, God damn, it's common as fuck.
Well, there's so many weird scrambling situations that you get involved in, you know, you bring in guys to train with, and sometimes those guys...
That's the other thing, what you just said, the bringing in guys to train with. Man, I think that is one of the biggest mistakes that guys make, is that these young guys, they bring into camp, they don't even know these guys.
Yeah.
These guys try to make a name. Look at
Aldo. If you brought me in to train with you, Joe, I'm fucking you up.
Like, right. Yeah. You want to.
That's my. I'm not gonna let you beat me down.
Especially
so.
If you're coming into a champs camp or exactly. a guy who's a high level guy who's well respected.
Right.
They want to say, dude, Donald Cerrone came into blah blah blah's camp and fucked him up.
Yeah.
Oh shit, really? Yep. I mean, that's what happens.
So you need to.
You
got to
have your friends.
You got to have your friends.
A lot of guys do it the right way, like what you're doing at the Bad Motherfucker Ranch.
Right.
All those guys are family, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that. Speaking of family, like Felder, people are like, Cowboy, you want him to lose. Like, the fuck I do? What does him losing do to me?
You can't respond to those people.
God, they fucking... I live at 6 Calma Lane, Edgewood, New Mexico. Any of you motherfuckers want to come?
You can't.
See
you can't get involved. What that is, you're opening yourself up to the retards of the world.
Oh, my God, bro.
Yeah.
And, you know, you... At your stand-up, you talk about the people that comment on a YouTube video.
Yeah.
I feel the same. When people say dumb shit to me, I'm like, you are a YouTube commenter.
Well, they could be children, you know. It could be, you know, young kids, or it could be morons.
I'll post a picture of something, like, surfing, and the people are like, Connor's going to kill you. Well, bitch, first of all, he's a 45er. Okay, you know, I want to just get on there and say all kinds of shit, and it's just like,
you got to pick who you communicate with. Like, say, look, like you and I know each other. This is Jamie. Jamie's a good dude.
Right?
If you want to have a conversation with Jamie, he's not going to say anything retarded, but he's right there in front of you.
Yeah.
Now, if we were just random people talking to you never know. You
dude.
Might run into a good dude like Jamie, or you might run into some complete fucking idiot that you would never talk to in real life.
God.
But in text, they all look the same. They all look the same.
Yeah.
It all looks the same. A guy can say some shit in a full sentence and, you know, and pretend that he has a point. God damn it, I'm going to start drinking too.
All right,
we're going to have to.
I'm
getting fired
up.
Are
you cracking open a nice cold refreshing Budweiser?
I am Donald Cerrone, American Budweiser. I just don't think it's wise to communicate with people that are just insulting online. I don't ever go back and forth. I used to.
Do you know how many why do you drink that fucking piss water disgusting beer?
That's good
comments
beer.
I get.
It's not bad.
I said
Budweiser's not bad. People are assholes.
And then I reach back and be like, oh yeah. They pay
like
me
Budweiser.
Every month to drink that fucking ice cold Budweiser.
I like Budweiser.
So I love it.
I like all kinds of different beers.
I used to be a Bud Light guy, but now I'm a Bud
That's
Heavy.
That's ridiculous.
I'm a Bud Heavy.
I'm a more of a Bud Heavy guy, but I like a Sam Adams.
Oh, yeah.
I like a Guinness. I like a dark beer, but I like a Budweiser, too. It's like I like water, and occasionally I like whiskey.
So you talk about Guinness, dark beer. You ever heard of Snake Bite?
Snake Bite?
Yeah.
No.
So Snake Bite is Guinness, half Guinness, and then half like an apple lager.
Oh, really? Oh, that's nice.
Snake bite, baby.
No, what's that shit that we drink? Black Butte Porter? Mm-hmm. That shit's good. We got this dark beer, this dark black. Who makes that? Black Butte? Who's the company that makes that?
Google.
It's like Deschutes. Yeah. Deschutes Brewery.
How awesome is Google now? Because no one can bullshit. You could have told me 20 years ago, you're the best wrestler in the world. And I'm like, oh, you are?
I know.
Wow.
Right?
You won state 7 times in a row and took worlds? Whoa.
How many martial
now
arts
I'm just
guys?
Like, No, you didn't. Actually, you've never even wrestled.
So. How many martial arts guys were like that, though?
All the one that wore the Rex Kondo fucking badass pants.
The Rex Kondo, the fucking American flag pants? American flag pants are the shit. Yeah, it used to be there was a bunch of guys that claimed to be in... Did you ever know who Rafael Torre is? You ever hear about that guy?
No.
He was a guy who was a writer for like one of those online magazines. I think Abu Dhabi News hired him. And he turned out to be a fake black belt and wound up killing the guy. Wound up killing, like, he was dating a girl and she was married to some dude, killed a dude for the insurance money, got busted, the whole deal. Craziness, right? In jail now for murder. But before that... He was claiming to be a black belt, but he set off a bunch of alarms. Like, he would go off to Thailand to have these fucking no-holds-barred fights and come back. And, yeah, I got him in a twister in the
allegedly,
first round.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, you just learned that, like, last week. Like, it was real weird. But one of the things he did that was hilarious is this dude claimed to be in a no-rules kumite in the woods. So he had his friend drop him off. He brought a big-ass duffel bag, right?
Right.
Like this big. He had his friend drop him off. He's like, drop me off and come back again and get me in a couple days, right? So his friend drops him off. He goes off into the woods. And his friend comes back in a couple days. And now he's got a trophy. No more fucking duffel bag. But the fuck? The trophy's the same size as the duffel bag. Dude comes back without a scratch on him.
It leaves the camping gear.
It just I mean, but that's the kind of shit that people did, you know? They were people who were retarded. They really would pretend that they were involved in these no-holds-barred contests, and they were 150-0.
Right.
Like, remember the early days, like Hicks and Gracie? They would say 400-0.
Sure, sure.
But you imagine if you had 400 fucking fights? God damn, you got to fight a lot. You have to fight, like, every couple days for years.
Sounds like my high school days.
You'd have to win all of them, too.
That I did not. That I did not.
Yeah, well, those are important. The losses are some of the most important ones, right? Oh, those are the ones that really make you get back and fucking dig in.
That burn you. Burn your soul.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
To this day, are there any losses that just fucking, that when you get up in the morning, you think about that one and it makes you just want to go running?
You know, more or less the guys that talk about the Diaz fight tell me all the time, Diaz will beat your ass. The Diaz brothers have the most incredible following, almost as incredible as the Conor McGregor following. The Colts, it is unbelievable. So they just tell me all the time, you'll beat your ass again. Like, all right, well, bring his ass on because I'm ready, whatever.
Well, you fought Nate, right? And the Nate Diaz fight, like, it seemed like you were having a hard time in the first round. Like, you had a hard time getting started. Like, that was a fight where, like, that dude talked a lot of shit to you.
Your boy Callen.
And it seemed, is he contacting you?
He just said he's still there. I told him, come crash this motherfucker.
Where is he?
I don't know.
Oh, he's texting you right now?
Yeah. I was
like, you were emotionally...
I'm not making he got in my head and he got me. Yeah, absolutely. And that shit doesn't happen no more. No, everyone tells me Connor's in your head, Dosano's, no, the fuck.
So that was
a
lesson for you.
A super lesson, man. Yeah, don't you mean, so let's take it back. You're talking about Rex Kondo, this guy, right? Oh, you see all the movies that people said, don't fight out of anger.
Right, right.
They say that for a reason. I mean, yeah. So when I fight out of anger, I mean, I don't know what the fuck I was doing. I sucked that night, and that's all there is to it. No excuses. The motherfucker beat me.
Did you just get caught up in it? Like,
I don't
caught
know.
Up in the emotions of like all the shit he talked to? He knocked your fucking hat off, dude.
Oh, God.
How dare he? Nate Diaz can talk some shit. I'll tell you what.
You know what? But as much as he talked, I like those guys.
I like them too.
I really
I like
do.
Them a lot.
I mean, because there is no front on them at all. They mm-hmm. are what you see is what you like.
Yep.
If I were to run into the Diaz brothers out in the street, we are fucking throwing down.
Right.
And there's no question. I mean, that's just who they are.
Right.
I mean, they're, you know, so it's not like they put on this front, this persona that they're big tough. No.
Right.
That's who they are.
24/7.
24/7. And
yeah,
it's awesome to me. You know, I think
right.
Both of them. I got nothing but respect for both
of
them.
So when you guys are all retired, you'll have a drink together and be
absolutely.
Laughing about
I'd have
it.
A drink with them now. I don't have anything. I don't have like any animosity or any anger or hate towards either one of them. I would definitely hang out with both of them, you know? And it sucks that fucking, you know, Nick is in trouble with this whole marijuana thing.
This thing is awful. It's awful, and it just shows how bad the Nevada State Athletic Commission is. And they were angry because he took the fifth because he didn't want to talk about it. The fucking guy passed two World Anti-Doping Agency tests,
right.
Two WADA tests that are blood tests. They're way more accurate
sure.
than the fucking urine test that Nevada State Athletic Commission gave him with Quest Diagnostics, you know? And nothing against Quest Diagnostics, but that method of testing is not as accurate.
Right.
So the dude was... within the realm. I mean, he was legal. He passed.
Sure.
And they try to steal. They're stealing money from him, and they're suspending him for 5 years. They're a fucking kangaroo court. That's
hey,
what
man,
they are.
5 years.
It's ridiculous.
At any job.
Yeah.
I mean, if I said, Joe, you're off the air for 5 years, you're fucking ruined, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's five. You're irrelevant after almost a
year.
People in our
sport.
People
forget about you.
Yeah, almost.
Yeah.
If you're not, I mean, he is one of the names in the sport, absolutely. But I mean, five years, he's getting older and
well,
older.
I
and
think
older.
He's like 33 or 34. How old is Nick now? Hold on. I want to say he's 32 at least, right? So 5 years, he's fucking 37, and he's not doing any TRT. He's not doing shit.
Sure. God
know?
Bless
so,
him, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, God bless him. He's 32. Yeah, I was right. So 5 years from now, it's over, man.
Dude.
Like, when we were kids, when a boxer like hit his 30s, you're like, oh, he's 32, 33.
Yeah.
It's almost over. We knew it was almost over.
Sure.
But then the age of TRT came along, especially with MMA. Things got real weird.
Sure.
Things got real strange. Like, you started to see guys like 36, 37, like Vitor, having the fucking fights of his career, the best fights ever. You know, and these guys, the Diaz brothers, one thing you got to say about them is these fucking dudes take care of their bodies.
Yes.
They eat healthy as fuck. Nick's always eating all organic food. He eats real healthy. He's constantly in shape, constantly running. If this guy's smoking pot, he's not doing meth. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I mean
he's taking care of his body.
Absolutely.
It's not like he's doing steroids. It's not like he's doing something that's making him freakishly fast or ridiculously strong.
It's actually the complete opposite.
It's the whole thing is it's so frustrating, man, that these clowns have any power over people like you.
Right.
It drives me crazy. Yeah. It drives me crazy that people like you need these fools that have never been punched in the face, they've never been strangled, they've never fought a day in their life, and they're the ones that get to decide what happens to you. They're the ones who get to tell Nick Diaz he has to sit out for 5 years.
Yeah, but they're the pencil pushers of America, man. They're the people that in high school didn't, you know, I feel like those are the guys that now they have something to prove. Now he's high and mighty, you know?
Maybe, you know, but there's a lot of pencil pushers that are good dudes, you know, or good women. It's not the problem. The problem is people in positions of power that are accustomed to that position of power, and then they treat it like they're a fucking king or a queen. They're tyrants.
Hey,
and that's what those people
my buddy
are.
Scott Parker,
who is it?
Parks from the Avalanche said he's been in over 400 fights. He just texted me right
How dare he? How dare you?
That is what Parks.
Is that the
enforcer?
Guy?
The enforcer.
Well, he might actually have been in 400 fights. Because those guys will fight all the time, right? He'll probably fight like 2-3 times a week. That's
Dude,
different.
He's huge. He's huge. He's my snowmobiling partner, right? So that's what I'm saying. It's El Nino's damn pump. So I don't know if you've ever ridden a snowmobile, but you get stuck in like 5-6 feet of powder, and now you're stuck.
Right.
That big old son of a bitch come over one hand and be like, rah, just rip me out. Like, go get it. And I'm in there digging me out for like an hour. And I'm like, you motherfucker, you big ass bitch. So, yeah, he's a good dude. Came down, helped me build the fucking ranch, man. He's a solid guy. Solid as it gets.
That's nice, man. It's good to have good friends.
Yes.
Especially ones that can lift a fucking snowmobile. But
with one hand. Rah.
Pull it out.
Fucker.
That's the world of professional athletes is so short that it's even more frustrating when someone gets, like, if you're an accountant and they suspend you for 5 years, you know, hey, you could always get a job doing something else, and then 5 years from now you get reinstated as an accountant. But when you're an athlete, you got this short window. I mean, I think Nick started fighting when he was 18. So, you know, he's 32 now. He's got a few years left at max.
Yeah.
Max. I mean, it's conceivable that he could come back at 37, since he does take care of his body. Maybe it's a tough comeback.
Financially, what are you doing?
Right.
You're accustomed to a lifestyle that you've been fighting. I am, at least.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
I'm a super degenerate with my money. Everyone knows that. If something happened to me today, I don't know what I'd do.
You would have to go on the road and start doing seminars, but because of your style and because of Nick's style, you guys are both really well-loved. Like, if something like that happened with you, you could do seminars and make a few grand every weekend.
Maybe not in Dublin. I'd have to go anywhere.
Dublin? Once you guys fought, you could do it. If you and Connor fought and duked it out and had an epic contest, then you could do it, you know?
I'm just a big stick in the mud.
Or if you beat them a couple times decisively, you'd have to beat them where they have to just give in. They'd have to say, all right, you had to beat them.
You beat them.
But if you're fucking cut down to 145... You'd never touch him.
Fucking Connor.
He's like, look, man, I appreciate the fuck out of what that guy's doing. He's getting eyes on the sport.
Yeah,
him and Ronda.
He really pisses me off. I feel like to tell him when he was in the fucking press conference, I wanted to rip him so bad.
Of course.
Wanted to kill him. I wanted to be like, you know what, Connor, you can blow me like a cup of hot soup, you son of a bitch. But
blow me like a cup of hot soup? How does that work? You blow on the cup of hot soup? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. But if he just blows you like that, that's why it's confusing. The vernacular is really odd. Like, blow job. I don't understand where that came from.
Right,
it's very, blow me like a cup of hot soup. First time.
First time. There you go.
Yeah, I've never heard that one before. I've been around. Blow me like a cup of hot soup. But the fucking guy, look, what he said to Dos Anjos, that shit was hilarious.
Right.
Like, you know, he's like, if you get a fight with me, you've made it.
Yeah.
You call your wife, honey, put on the fucking red panties, we made it. Come on. I appreciate the fuck out of that dude. Shit, his shit-talking game is better than anybody.
It is.
He's the best ever.
Yeah.
I mean, and Nick Diaz is right because, you know, like, what his antics inside the octagon, like Nick's antics inside the octagon fuck with a lot of people's heads.
Sure.
Like, the first fight with Robbie Lawler, like, I remember there's the first time I ever saw Nick talk shit. It was the first fight with Robbie Lawler. Robbie was dangerous. So Nick took that shit talking to DEFCON 5, and he got into the octagon. And the first thing he does, he gets into the octagon. He looks over at Robbie. He goes, "Stockton, motherfucker! Stockton!" And he starts walking around, "Stockton, mother." And Robbie's like, "What the fuck is he talking about?
What does that even mean?" Yeah, exactly.
And then the entire time the fight is going on, like, "What, bitch? What you gonna do, bitch? What you gonna do, bitch?" And then he hit him. "Oh, bitch, I just stung you, bitch." And he'd be popping him. And every time, and Robbie Lawler didn't talk back to him, but you could clearly see he didn't anticipate that.
But And as far as Nick and Nate go, I don't know if that's like a game plan that they're. That's just like their real
that's
life.
That's just them. Yeah.
Like, I think if they were on a street, they'd be like, "What bitch talk?" Like, that's like real life talk. Like, that's what they know.
But it's
like,
still
what bitch. Like that. That's them. That's them being them. You know what I'm saying?
But it is still a psychological tactic. It's an excellent tactic.
And do you
Anderson
think...
Silva? It fucked Anderson Silva's head up, dude.
You some bitch laid out on the mat.
Yeah, he laid down like this.
You gotta love him.
And he's taking a nap, fighting the greatest pound for pound fighter in the history of the sport, and he lays down, and then he gets up with his hands down like, "What, bitch?
Yeah.
What, bitch?"
It's fucking...
And he didn't do any of that leading up to the fight, which was even more fucked up, because I don't think Anderson expected it at all. And then when he was in there talking shit to him, you could see Anderson just, like, moving around and not doing anything, frozen, and, you know, thinking about, like, there's a great thing around it. What, bitch? And Anderson had never experienced that before.
Man. Come on, that, with it.
He is Anderson is the greatest psychological fall I've ever seen in my career. To witness him go from the guy who beat Stephen Bonner, who steps his back up against the cage, drops his hands, is like, "Come on, go ahead," and then moves out of the way, and then decides, "All right, now I'm going to attack." Hits Bonner with a knee to the stomach, drops him, and then pounds him out and TKOs him, and then looks like a guy in the fucking Matrix.
Right.
I mean, and then. To go from that confidence to the two Weidman fights, man, they did a number on him. They did a number on him like I've never seen before. It's fascinating to see. It's fascinating to see how a guy could be almost just unbeatable. And then Weidman after the second fight. I mean, you got to think about the second fight. Anderson broke his leg, right?
Sure.
Weidman didn't knock him out. He broke his leg. I mean, he had him hurt bad in that first round. But then after that fight, Weidman's like, "You know what? I don't want to fight him again. I don't want to hurt him." Like, whoa. Like, just for Anderson to hear that, it's got to be like, that's a mind fuck, man.
Well, and I mean, you're coming up. I mean, the mind is such a motherfucker. Like, if you could just get your mind to do what your heart wants to do, life would be so much easier.
Yeah.
I think, like, there are so many times I'm in the cage, like, right? And I don't know if my brain knew what my heart was trying to say, but that's what I wanted to do, you know?
Right.
And it's so, and then you. It's fuck, bro. I can't even put words on it, you know? It's crazy.
Do you do any mental training? Do you do any meditating or any visualization?
Yeah, drink fucking ice cold Budweiser, brother. What are you talking about? God damn it. No, a fucking fight is a fight, but I probably maybe should. I mean, but it's in this sport, it's not like that's what I was telling Blake Griffin today. Like, hey, man, you have a bad day, you fall back and let your team pick up slack.
Yeah.
I have a bad day, I'm the worst fighter in the world. My Twitter feed is just. Nothing but you pussy, you fucking die.
Well, there's a difference between a guy losing a basketball game, too, and getting shit on by the fans. All you have to do is stay offline for a couple days, you know, and you hit that three-pointer to win the game, and you're a fucking hero again.
Again, back
up. Yeah, you're back up.
Yeah.
But for a fighter, man, especially because fighting, like when a kid, or especially an idiot, looks at a fighter, they look at something that is so unattainable, they might as well be talking to a unicorn.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
they
absolutely.
Might as well be talking to a god. They might as well be talking to someone who's not even real. So they feel like they can talk shit to you
Did you say God and something real?
Like you're not
in
even
the same
real.
Sentence? I like it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
All right.
You know, like you're Apollo, you're fucking Zeus or something. You know what I'm saying?
Dude,
it's like.
Yeah.
You are not, they don't relate to you. And when they're writing this thing, they're sitting there, their fucking keyboard getting crazy.
Oh, man.
I don't know what I just did. I think I might have deleted something.
So, I mean, the craziest thing about fighting is if you and I were to go out and fight right now, there's no emotion, there's no thought, it's just fucking get it.
Right.
But now December 18th, I have this entire
time. This big
time.
Window to think
and
about
the problem,
it.
It's not the fight that bothers me. Nothing at all. And I think I speak maybe for all fighters, I don't know, I don't give a shit, but it's, I got my grandma sitting ringside. I got all the people I meet along the way that, you know, I've met and I've interacted with, hung out, and in their mind, when they talk to people like, oh yeah, I'm going to Cowboys fight, he's going to fuck this dude up. Like, you know what
right.
I mean? So like, the precedent is so high. Like,
the
winning,
pressure, right.
The pressure, unbelievable. So
do you
like,
talk to those people leading up to that fight? You know what you should do?
I don't even know if it's talking to them or if it's just you
knowing they're there.
Knowing that they're there and knowing that they're, I mean, the pressure's unbelievable. So when you're in that fight and they're like, are you ready? Are you ready? And sometimes you're like, fuck no, I'm not ready. What are you talking about? Are you kidding me? No, I'm not ready.
There's never going to be a time when I'm ready for this.
No. I'm not sweating. I'm fucking, my heart's pounding in my chest. And they're like, bing. And you're like, oh, shit, fake it till you make it. And it's right. time to you know, it's unbelievable, man. And you got to go out there and is he ready? Sometimes you look across at him and he's like, he doesn't look ready. But he hit me ready. You know what I mean? Like, it's sometimes.
Right.
And some of those times when you're sitting in the corner, you look across and you're like, second, got him. Check. I can see it. I broke him. I got it. Sometimes you look across, you're like, I don't know. What is this dude going to come out really hard in the third? Like, it's so it's crazy. Like, the Eddie Alvarez fight, third round come out. He came out. I was like, oh, hey, man, slow down. You know what I mean? Like, so it's there's so much mind shit that goes on. Like I said, but I can get my fucking mind, do what my heart wants to do. I feel like I can beat anyone in the world. But the problem is being ready on game day, man. It's so tough.
But listen to me. Why don't you do any mental preparation?
I tried. I tried to meet mental people. I don't fucking do anything. That's all hokey pokey. Fucking
hokey pokey. Turn yourself around.
Turn yourself around.
That's what it's all about.
Fucking, you know, I feel the mental game is so hard to grasp because, yeah, Henry Smith and Jafari are calling out what I should do.
Right.
I see what I should do.
Right.
But I don't do it. You just, I'm like frozen.
Right.
I'm like a stick in the mud.
Right. But do you think that, like, okay, like when you're in the heart of battle, okay,
sure.
let me ask you this. When you're at your best, like let's say in a particularly impressive fight, like the Jim Miller fight.
Sure.
The Jim Miller fight, you were on fire. You look so dominant in that fight, and you look so focused, and you just, your combinations, your distancing, everything was on point. When you're in that zone, right?
Right.
When you, like, right before you stopped him, What is in your mind? Are you empty? Are you blank?
I'm going to be a fucking 1,000% honest with you. Mm-hmm. I'm like a video game in a third person.
Right.
So I see myself from behind my head playing myself. How fucking, that's the lunatic in my brain talking. But that's how I see the fights.
Right.
I don't see the fight, me fighting you. I see it from like a helicopter view above my fucking right shoulder.
Whoa.
And I see it like when I'm in the zone and I'm. Mm-hmm. So, you know when I'm in the
zone, so you're not emotional.
I step back and I like do this like little hop and that like puts me like, then I like go behind and I'm fucking dialed in and it's like ding, ding, everything just flows.
Right.
And I see myself out of body, as crazy as that fucking sounds, right? From like a third party.
Well, I haven't heard it before from anybody else, but it doesn't sound crazy because I think what you're talking about is it's not you. Like, you're outside of you.
Yeah.
So
I'm literally outside of me. It's like I'm telling that person what to do from an outside perspective.
So when you're at your best like that, would you say
like
that
the Dunham fight, the entire
perfect,
Dunham
perfect
fight
example,
the entire from bell to bell, the Dunham fight, I was outside. I mean, there wasn't a point. We touched. I remember clear as day seeing myself run across and touch gloves, and it was fucking on. Like,
what was the fight before the Dunham fight?
Dos Anjos.
So, do you think that because of the Dos Anjos loss, like you got more focused, more intense, and then came out in the Dunham fight, and you were just on fire?
I wish I had an answer for that. I don't know. I mean, I totally underestimated the Dos Anjos. Fucking will not happen again.
He's gotten a lot better.
Good.
You know, that guy works hard.
Good.
I know he's your adversary and you're fighting him. But when you're at your best, would you say that you don't have any emotions at all?
Zero emotion.
You're zero, right?
Zero at zero, yeah.
And then when you're frustrated and you're in a bad place, you're battling your emotions, trying to calm them down, right?
Absolutely. Trying. Yeah, it's like I'm like trying to find second gear.
Right. Yeah, right, right.
You know,
oh,
it's like
the worst sound in the world.
You know what I mean? That's what it fucking feels like.
Right.
Like when I'm just like grinding, like, go, motherfucker. That's, and you talk to yourself. Go, fucking, you fucking pussy, go.
And
that's what's like going through my mind. Like, I'm, can't find it. I just can't find second gear. And
when you're in that place, it's the most frustrating, right?
The absolute most frustrating, man. There's nothing, I mean, it's like, What do you do?
Well, do you think that it's possible that through mental training and through specific techniques, you could get better at achieving that, what you would call maybe like a flow state, the same way you got better at being a fighter? Like, think about your first days of fighting when you first learned Muay Thai. You know, you weren't like, I'll tell you when I first saw you. I first saw you when you were on the Tap Out show.
Sure.
Because I was like, who is this wild motherfucker hanging out with Mask and Tim?
Right.
He's throwing head kicks. But the cool thing about you, I thought you the personification of an idea that Eddie Bravo and I both had. And that idea was, if you get a guy who's a really good kickboxer but also has a really good guard,
right,
they're fucking super dangerous.
Sure.
Because they're not worried about getting taken down. So they throw those kicks freely. So you won a lot of your early fights by submission off your back.
Correct. Because, for one, my wrestling was zero.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not like I was like, oh, just kick freely and defend it, and they just take me down. I mean,
but as fun as you were to watch back then, when I first watched you,
are you telling me I'm not fun now? Is that what's going on here?
No. You are a lot better now, right?
Sure.
You're a lot better now. So you got better at that. Do you think that you could get better the same way with your mind?
Absolutely.
A flow? And don't you think that you should practice that, though?
I should. I'm gonna work on that.
I think if you had a coach that could work through that with you.
Like, so you talk about this mind, right? And there's been times when I've been hitting pads, and I fucking just go into
flow state. You're in the zone.
I go into it.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, fucking. Boop.
I've seen you do it. I've seen videos of you doing it.
And then 2 days will go by and I don't see it.
Right.
3 days, a month.
Right. That's how it goes, though, right?
But then sometimes it's like, and it's like a drug, man.
I think that state exists in everything. I think singers experience it. I think all sorts of basketball players, all sorts of different athletes experience that state. And it's all about trying to find that state. That state exists in stand-up comedy. That state exists in, and I think in everything that's difficult to do, there's a time where you zone into it.
Zone in, man.
Just,
or zone out.
Yeah, whatever it is. But it only comes if you've dotted all your I's and crossed all your T's.
Right.
You have to have no worries at all about your preparation.
Oh, no. Yeah, that all has to be, absolutely, yeah, you know, and you're right,
do you think that drinking has any effect on your physical performance, or do you think that you do it at a level where you're not fucking with your endurance?
Well, that's the thing, I think people think that Cowboy just drinks fucking 12-pack a night, but that's
not. Like, how many beers do you drink on a regular basis?
With dinner, a couple. If I'm out with friends, a couple, you know, we'll put the 6-pack down, maybe graduate to a 12-pack, I don't know, but we're engaging and having a good time.
Right,
so,
right. This is a rare moment.
Do
right?
I sit at home and drink alone?
No.
Absolutely not.
You're a social drinker.
Social drinker. I hang out with my friends, I'd have a couple beers, you know what, dinner. But a lot of times, when you're training, you're sore. You come home, you know, you roll,
yep.
You're like, oh my God.
You want a beer, yeah.
Dude, you put 2-3 beers down, you're like,
tastes so much better.
Yeah. So much better.
Ice cold beer after training is one of the best. Actually, it's good for you too, because there's something.
It's better than chocolate milk, right?
Well, it's up there. As long as you don't have too much of it, there's like a point of diminishing returns.
On that fucking note.
They say that, I guess it's the hops or whatever it is, it can replenish the glycose in your body. You know who was a glycogen, whatever it is? You know who was a big believer in that? One of the best ever, Boss Rutten.
Right.
Boss Rutten never stopped drinking.
Sure.
He goes, hey, have a drink or two every night.
Why not?
Well, he did eventually because he sort of developed an issue.
Yeah.
Where, you know, he's getting a little crazy with it. But when he was training, you know, he would have a couple of beers at night, and he didn't stop having it.
I mean, sometimes I'll drink 2-3-4 nights in a row. Then I'll go, I won't have a beer for a week, 2 weeks, I don't know. You know, and so here, I'm going to tell you the problem with drinking.
Okay.
Are you ready for Cowboy's philosophy on drinking?
I've been ready forever.
All right. So me and you have a six-pack. We roll over dinner. 6-pack leads to a 12-pack. Leads to us drinking shots. Leads to us staying out to 2 in the morning.
Right.
And what do you do at 2 in the morning? You chase pussy.
Right.
So now you fucking find a girl. You go home. She plays the I don't want to give you the pussy game until 6 a.m.
The I don't want to give you the pussy game. This sounds so very rapey.
So finally at 6, 7 a.m., you do your deed.
Right.
Finally. Now I got training at 9:30. I don't make it.
Right.
So that's where I feel alcohol.
Yes.
But if I have four or five beers, I go home, go to sleep. Is that going to affect my training tomorrow? I don't think so. Not at all.
As long as you have water, as you're not dehydrated, all that jazz.
Yeah.
Do you watch your diet?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Well, Floyd Mayweather ate burgers, 49-0.
Yeah, I mean, I eat whatever I want, I drink whatever I want, and that's my life, man.
So
I mean,
you never, like, you don't have, like, a Dolce guy or something like that that monitors your...
A Dolce guy.
How dare you?
How?
What's wrong with a Dolce guy?
How dare you? Nothing's wrong. It works great for Rhonda, apparently, but...
It does. Works great for a lot of people, right?
No, I don't. I can't have you telling me... If you said, Cowboy... Can't don't drink pizza. That beer. You can't eat pizza.
The motherfucker, I'm gonna eat a whole delicious.
Pizza. Yeah, I'm a fucking crazy. Hey, because pizza's like sex. Bad pizza or good pizza is still fucking pizza, brother.
But is there a way you could have like the best of both worlds? Is there a way that you could like figure out how to give your body the best fuel and maybe it'll give you a little slight edge
on it?
That's going to help a little. You know, supplements will help. Vitamins will help.
I don't
help.
Take supplements. How
you
crazy?
Don't take any
no.
vitamins? Nothing?
Nothing. Nothing. Nothing.
How old are you now?
32.
Around 34.
And I mean, my friends can definitely preach for me. I don't take shit.
Nothing.
Nothing.
No protein powders, nothing.
I use a little bit of medicinal marijuana on the fucking knee. The CBD oil.
You know what you should do with the knees? The fucking stem cell injections are incredible, man. Cormier had one. He was like that close to surgery. He had a stem cell injection in his knee and fixed him right up.
Rhonda's
apparently thinking about it. She had one of her judo coaches just had stem cells done in his knee.
So you're steering me away from medicinal marijuana.
No, I want you to do that too.
Both.
Do that too, but don't do it as much as Nick Diaz.
I don't.
If you do it, refuse the urinalysis, the urine test.
No, it was like a rub. I was in Colorado. I got a.
Oh yeah, they have creams.
A cream is exactly what it was. It was like a cream, like a. I think it was like a 50-1, 50 CBD percent to 1 THC.
I got some of that shit, but I'm scared of it.
Bro, I put it on my knee. It was only like 1%, 50-1. So
it's all CBD and very little THC.
Correct.
Oh, I see. Dude,
a week of it and my knee felt great.
Well, it's one of the best anti-inflammatories known to man.
Unbelievable. So, I don't smoke weed. I don't. Shy on people that do. I don't give a fuck. You do whatever the hell people want, you know, make no difference to me. I just wish I could be unhigh. Have you ever been like I used to get high when I was a kid,
right?
And I'd be like, fuck, I'm done being high. I wish I could be unhigh right now. Kind of like if you drink too much and you're spinning, you try to put your foot down on the floor. Like, I wish I could be unfucking drunk right now. Same kind of deal. I wish, you know.
Well, it's like everything, you know, a little bit of moderation is good. Yeah. Couple toots just a little bit, hang out with the girlfriend, make a little kissy-kissy.
Yeah,
it's the best.
One of my good friends, Eric Bonacamp, that's why he would smoke religiously every day. And I used to lay hardwood floor. So I'd be like, let me hit that thing. And the next thing you know, I'm over in the corner, fucked out of my mind. Like,
but that's
God,
the
I just want to be on high right now.
You don't
now.
Have a tolerance for it, and you're jumping right into the deep end of the pool. You need swimming lessons.
Right.
Okay?
I need to learn how to take a half puff.
Your breath, breathe in, breathe out. There's a lot of shit that goes into that. You can't just... I've had a lot of friends who are like, let me see what the fuss is all about. And I'll go, okay, listen to me.
Yeah.
This shit right here? There's glass tips, okay? Smell this.
What?
Yeah. They use glass. Glass at the tip. Take a smell of that. Just smell it. Just smell it. See that? That's not to be fucked with.
No, you don't fuck with it.
No, that's not to be fucked with. You can smoke it, but you got to be fucking careful.
Yo, look at this. This looks like something that I would find down on Colfax in Colorado, like a crackhead.
Crackhead, yeah. Well, you got to deal with the
stigma. If you handed me this, Joe, I'd be like,
I know, right? Well, usually you use paper at the end of it, but glass is better than paper.
And it comes in a fucking bitchin' little...
Yeah, little
vial. You spark that bitch up right now?
I will if you want me to. Do you want some of this?
No, I'm not going to. No.
Okay.
No, but
I'll have a little.
Yeah, watch. So vapor. Kush vapor. There it is. Glass tip.
See, but I do this all the time. I wouldn't recommend a hit like that for a...
That'd floor me. That'd be done. That'd be it.
No, no, no. It will confuse people. It makes you anxious and freak out. And it makes you confront all sorts of shit that you've been keeping in the back of your head. But I confront that shit all the time. So this is my friend.
Okay.
So when I dig in on this...
So, I mean, like I said, I don't smoke weed. I mean, I've done it, of course. And we did a backpacking trip with a couple of buddies of mine, and they brought weed. So, of course, I smoked it. You know,
backpacking and weed go hand to hand.
And I was in charge of the...
Like vans and rape.
I was in charge of the GPS. So, where we were going, I don't know, but it was 2 miles as the crow flies every fucking time they asked me where I was going, because we kept moving, but the spot we were going to stayed the same. So, everywhere we went, it was... it says 2 miles as the crow flies. So
I'm 2 miles as the crow flies is such a fucking mountain term. People who have never hiked, they have no idea what you're talking about.
Right.
But that's the idea, folks, is that if you go down and then up, well, the distance between those points straight as a crow would fly is like a mile. But you're going like a mile and a half, 2 miles, maybe three. If you go
forever,
all the way down
and you're still two fucking miles. So every time I go down, where are we at? I said it's 2 miles as the crow flies, and they'd be like, "You motherfucker!" So.
Dude, I am amazed at how fucking tired hiking gets you.
Especially with
climbing
a fucking 80-pack ruck on your back.
Yeah,
bro,
dude, trust me. Especially in Colorado.
Yeah, well, we brought all our rock climbing gear with us. So we had probably 30, 40 pounds of climbing gear.
30, 40 pounds of gear, and you're dealing with altitude. Fuck, it's hard, man.
Because we're traditional climbers, so we set our own anchors. So,
oh, shit.
I mean, if you're going to do it, why not?
Well, I had this.
If you got to make your sphincter fucking come all the way to a BB, right?
Is that what you do? You like to make your sphincter like really fucking clamp down? That's the thing,
that's
right?
That's living. That's motherfucking. When you're hanging on by one finger and you go to set that bolt, and you don't know if you set it good enough because you're fatigued.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And you got to clip the rope.
Sweaty hands. I'm sweaty hands just hearing about this. I had this cat, Alex Honnold. You know who he is? He's one of the greatest free climbers in the world. You want to talk about setting your sphincter? This guy climbs shit that most people don't even want to climb. That's him sitting up there. He climbs shit with no ropes. And one time, he's halfway up the mountain when he realized that he forgot his fucking chalk. He didn't bring any powder. So he's halfway up the mountain. And I don't even like to do kettlebells without powder.
What do you do at that point? Just kind of give it a little...
He just kept going. He's an animal. I mean, this fucking kid. Look at what he's doing. Look at this fucking
angle. We call
angle.
That now today, you're pot fucking committed, right? When you're halfway, you don't just climb down.
No,
so his only option is, where's the commode? I got to pee bad.
Oh, right out there. Go right out the door and take a leak.
Have me drink four fucking
beers. I hear you, dude.
You can be all right without
Yes, I'll be right out. Fine without you. Donald is going to be fighting for the title when is it?
December.
In Orlando, Florida. And he's fighting Rafael Dos Anjos, the guy who beat Anthony Pettis, who was one of the baddest motherfuckers in the sport. So Dos Anjos is a beast. It's a really big fight, a really important fight. And it's a fight that, I mean, as much as he'll talk about how much he doesn't give a fuck and he's having a good time and everything like that, this is something he's been working towards for a long, long time. Like, while he's peeing, I can just tell you this. Like, this is how this guy is all the time. Like, he's not putting on a show. He's a great guy, too. He's fun to hang out with, man. He's always like this. He's always friendly. He's always not. Like, when you hear about him getting in fights with people, like the fact that he barely neck kicked that guy, if a lot of people said that, I'd be like, please, you fucking teed off on him. Like, I would have probably teed off on him, but he really would, like, hit him nice.
Eddie Bravo and Ari Sheffield staring at me when I pee in there.
Ari Sheffield. Ari Shafir. That's my buddy Mike Maxwell made a bunch of...
Shafir, Sheffield, my bad.
Sheffield.
My girlfriend's last name is Sheffield, so that...
Oh, that's very different. Yeah. You think about Ari, you think about your girlfriend. Things got weird.
That got super fucking weird.
Mike made a bunch of different pictures of... This is what Joey back there. We got to revise the Joey. The Joey Diaz one didn't come out so good.
No, which one was he?
It's in the back.
Jeez.
It didn't work out. It needs to redo that.
So, I just bought some new guns.
Yeah, I saw, man. So, what is an integrally suppressed 300 Win Mag?
So, that's where the suppressor is part of the barrel.
The suppressor, for people that don't know guns, is a silencer. It makes it really quiet.
Sounds like a faggot farting.
Really?
All you hear is
nothing.
The bolt.
And I have a 300 Win Mag.
So you have a 300 Win Mag, right?
It's a motherfucker of a gun. It's got so much kick. So this has very little kick, too, because it's...
Zero kick. So that's normally, insane. If you're getting people, they shoot and then double tap. Bing, right. Bing, bing. Right?
Right.
No, you can just whatever you want, man.
That's insane.
Insane. So we are supersonic rounds, right? Which is, it breaks the sound barrier.
That's
so,
illegal in California, isn't it? This gun.
I'm sure.
Fuck
everything's
bullshit.
Legal in California. I have no idea. But, so they make
subsonic ammo?
Subsonic ammo, right?
So you don't hear it.
Right, but we were shooting supersonic ammo out of it just to prove a point.
Wow.
All you could hear is the bolt. Clink, 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 clink.
That's insane.
Bro. Insane. So the guy that came out to my house, it's Keystone Armory, plugging him right now. But
yeah, well, please do.
They would spit down the barrel because suppressors aren't made to get wet.
That fucking gun. How many rounds is that hold?
30.
Dude, my 300 windbang is a bolt action rifle. It holds
I have the same one, right? Yeah. So it's great unbelievable. Gun. We were literally shooting it in my backyard, and the guys across the street, we called them over. They're like, dude, we thought you guys were just using your nail gun shooting. Building the house.
That's insane.
It's like clink, 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 clink. So they have 9mm 45, and you can't. It sounds like a pellet gun.
You can't even probably can't even possess them in California, which is really weird. You know, in Europe, hunting without a silencer is rude. Like they all have suppressors because they don't want to hurt people's ears. Like they don't like. It doesn't make sense that you can hunt with an archery equipment, archery setup, which is totally silent.
You see that badass Talladega shirt I have? Have you ever been to Talladega?
Never been. Tell me about Talladega.
So fun.
Yeah.
Talladega and Daytona. If you guys are NASCAR fans, or if you're not, you need to go. Just experience the infield.
You know what I really
weirdness.
Like watching? People I like watching. People turning left and then right. I like a lot of movement. In my racing. I like that Formula One thing where they go around a lot.
Listen, Kevin Harvick is a dear friend of mine. Number four all day. And but
the best left turners on the planet.
Ever. Okay.
Nobody left
so
turns
So let's
like
talk
them.
About this. We're going here, okay?
Okay.
So I show up to Michigan. Kevin's racing. And I said, you know what? How hard could it be? So I said, let's go to a go-kart race. I'll run with you. Right, so calls up the nearest go-kart track. So we'll be right there. We show up. I said, where's the fastest kart? And fucking badass Kevin says, which one's the slowest? This motherfucker was running laps around me in the fucking go-kart. And I'm a go-kart going motherfucker. That's how I feel like you're not going to beat me in a go-kart. And he did.
Very few people ever get to say, I'm a go-kart going motherfucker.
He'd pull over and wait for me to catch up and fucking catch me again. It's all about how they... You know, when you're taking those corners and you hear, that means you're losing speed.
He just knows how to cut the lines.
It's fucking unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, I would imagine, even to be just a guy who does NASCAR, you would have to be one of the top drivers in the world. The difference is that I appreciate the shit out of
and
it.
And women. Danica.
Yeah,
I love
her.
She's
my,
doing
she's
super,
hot, too.
Yeah,
crazy.
Hot.
It's like the crazy Ronda hot. Rousey of racing.
Except for Ronda's not hot.
How dare you?
What?
How dare you?
I say it loudly and proudly.
Oh, my goodness. You have higher standards than me, sir. I think she's hot as fuck. You don't think she's hot? I don't want to get into this.
We don't want to go there.
I like her too much.
All right, that's
but
fine.
But when you watch Formula One,
do you feel like that you have a biased opinion when you're commentating because you like her so much?
I have a biased opinion towards you too.
Okay,
I do.
Next question.
I try to suppress
it. Next question.
Look, I try to suppress it, but part of being a commentator is if like. Uriah Faber. I love that dude.
Right.
I think Uriah Faber is a cool motherfucker. I love talking to him.
Right.
When he fights, I have to put myself in a place where I don't think about that.
Sure.
TJ. When TJ fights, I have to put myself in a place where I don't think about it. I'll tell you what. I hate to tell you this. I love Conor.
Right.
I love that dude.
So my grandma always tells me she watches the fight and
right.
She has to put it on mute. And then she has to watch the real fight.
She doesn't like me?
No, she loves you. But she just likes the... Be no silence, you know,
right.
And see the fight in its integrity. You
oh,
know?
She
and
should, you know, they should offer that. And
because
not,
you, Joe, are to the fans, can weigh the scale.
I definitely
I don't know
can.
If you, yeah.
No, I do. I know that.
You,
that's
you
why
say,
it's
you
important for me to. I try to be as objective about, but I also have to be honest.
Yeah.
If something's happening, and some guys, it
but
hurts.
What you see sometimes the judges don't
yes.
agree with. So
sometimes
the fans, you right. will, you. Heavy on the scale one side, you know?
I could but, be, but
I'm pretty right on with you, but I probably
am better at it than the judges.
Sure.
There's a real problem, and that's an arrogant thing to say.
The judges suck.
They're real bad.
Did you watch, you don't...
I don't think they're fans. This is
Bam Bam
the
Haley fight that just happened. You know,
I heard about it. It
sucked.
I heard about it. Look,
totally
I'm not even remotely surprised. I have it recorded. I'm going to watch it.
You know, Bam Bam
You can watch it on Fight Pass,
right? Fight Pass, yeah. You know, and Bam Bam won the fight, but...
We've seen that, man. We saw that.
It happens all the time.
Fucking in Ramsey Nijem's last fight.
And I
it happens a lot.
With the Henderson and myself, first fight, I feel like I won. You know, the third fight that we just had, I don't fucking know, man. It could have, you know, that was.
I got to honestly tell you, I thought he edged you.
So.
I just thought he edged you.
And,
but it was a very close fight.
And
you know,
it wasn't
a travesty.
Sure.
That was the mentally hardest fight I've ever had.
Sure. I'm not hiding any fact,
look,
you know?
Benson is one of the fucking best on
sure.
the planet, and you're one of the best on the planet. It was a great fight.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no doubt about it. It was a super high level, very entertaining fight.
And Benson's coming down to help me train for this fight.
That's awesome. I
right?
love that dude.
So do I.
He's got a great soul.
That's what he told me. He's like, hey, man,
a good
you got this one. They gave me the first one. Fucking go get it. That's what he said to me.
That's beautiful.
Right?
I'm glad he did that. You know, I'm biased towards a lot of guys. I'm biased towards... Chad Mendez. I love that dude. I think he's a great guy.
Yeah.
I mean, but when they're fighting, damn, dude, I try to let all that shit slide away. I try to look at it as objectively as possible. So, like, in the Ronda Betch Cohea fight, if Betch beat the fuck out of Ronda in that fight, I would be calling it as if it was one of the most spectacular moments in MMA, even though I'm a friend of Ronda's
God,
and a
how
fan
fucking
of hers.
Badass did she look?
That was, God damn,
she
she's
was,
good.
That was a Leonard Garcia Ronda fight.
Yeah. She bit down on her mouthpiece and fucked that girl up.
Gave it.
And did it, like, flawlessly. That fucking right hand she hit her with and then tagged her with the left as she's going down. She's not winging shit. She's throwing perfect, clean technique.
Come on. Those were wingers.
Dude,
those were fucking wingers.
Well, it was a chaos
wingers.
Fight, but she's throwing clean technique,
sure.
man. It's, for her, it's a winger, but the way she landed the right hand, then as the girl's
yes.
going down, she hits
yes.
it with the left. There's no wind-up in that. That's
bing-bing. Beep, bing.
And
double
she's
tap.
Only been fucking striking for a few years, man. It's a recent thing.
Because if it will, it will.
You know what, man? If you're one of those fucking people, like that girl's got that brain.
Yeah.
If you're one of those fucking people, she could be the best surfer. She'd find her way. You know, if Danica Patrick was the number one NASCAR driver, she'd find a way to get in front of that bitch.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
There's some people out there that do. Like that girl doesn't have any loser in her.
Sure.
She figures out a way to win.
Winning her whole life.
Her mother is a bad motherfucker, too. Now, can you say that? A mother's a bad motherfucker? But I say that with all
I mean,
due
motherfucker,
respect.
Motherfucker is used as loosely as cunt is for Australian.
Or English.
English.
English is a term of endearment. He's a good cunt.
I was with these wild...
It's awesome.
Fisher, he was just with me today, and that's all he says. You fucking cunt, you cheeky cunt.
You cheeky cunt.
You drive that RAM 350, you fucking cunt.
What's an RAM 350?
A Ram 3500.
Oh.
He don't know how
to... I thought it was some kind of crazy...
Right? No, it's a Ram.
A Ram truck. They don't even have those over there. I have a buddy who lives in Australia.
Bro.
Is the biggest truck you can get is like a Toyota like Tacoma.
These guys
or
are...
A Tundra or something.
So we're at a bar in Vegas, and they just tell these guys, hey, you cunts. And I'm like, if I would say, hey, you cunts... I'll get thrown out of the bar.
Well, worldly folks know that it's different.
He'd be like,
to them.
Hey, barmaid, bring more rounds, you cunt.
Oh.
And she would just, I mean, I don't know if she could understand him, but
right.
I was like, what is going on here?
Did you tell him the cunt is different for us civilized folk?
We absolutely had the time.
Here in the modern world, they're living in the 50s over there. It's like a John Wayne movie.
It is unbelievable.
I love Australia, man. I fucking love going there, too. I'm looking forward to Melbourne. I've never been to
Colin
Melbourne.
Colin Oak's fighting there.
Is he? Is he fighting that card?
Fighting at the ranch.
I like that dude.
Yes, Colin Oak. Strong dude.
Colin Oak, wasn't he a bodyguard to the crocodile hunter?
Yeah, he was.
Isn't that crazy?
We talk about it all the time. Absolutely. You want to know even a crazier fucking story? So Colin Oak and Jonathan Webb just signed to the UFC, trained the Jonathan, who at the ranch, came and trained Kyle for his fight the entire way. Kyle's opponent got pulled out, and they called Jonathan and had him take the fight.
Whoa.
So they trained for each other the entire fucking 8 weeks.
Oh, my God.
And then fought each other.
Jesus Christ. So they have to fight each other, or
they
did fight each other?
They did.
Where'd they fight?
In Australia.
Who won that fight?
Kyle won.
Wow. Damn, so, that's hard,
was,
right?
And Jonathan looked spectacular, man. It was unbelievable. It was a crazy. It was for all of us, like coaching and internal guys. It was like what? But Kyle tells Jonathan, "You idiot! If you don't take the fight, you know what I mean. They're right. giving you a fight in the UFC. All you want to do, so you stupid son of a bitch, take the fight."
Wow.
And that's. I mean, that's.
Have you had that happen to you?
I mean, other than Benson, I mean, I fought Melvin Gallard.
Yeah, oh, that's right. You trained with Melvin a
many
long
years,
time,
yeah,
right?
Very many years. So
there was some psychological warfare in that fight too.
Sure,
because you said that Melvin used to quit in training. You're like, I'm going to make him quit again.
Yeah, absolutely. Why not?
Psychological war.
Psychological
on your
war.
Friend too, right?
On your friend.
Ooh,
dog eat dog. But the son of a bitch came out and whammered, dammered me, didn't he?
Yeah, he was like, whoa, was it left hook?
Son of a bitch, where, hold up here.
Yeah. Was that the hardest time you've ever been hit? I think you said in one of those UFC countdown things, that was the hardest time
other
you've
than,
ever been
other
hit.
Other than Leonard, training, yeah. I was one of
Leonard training?
Jesus Christ. The dude, rock on a rope, you know? That's you, so, other than that, but...
Rock on a rope, that's hilarious.
Rock on a rope.
For people who don't know what you're talking about, if you had a rock on the end of a rope and just swung it, that's the way Leonard throws punches. Rock on a rope.
A rock on a rope.
Wow.
So, I mean...
You know,
yeah,
there's a great video where Connor, love him or hate him, is teaching when he's coaching this season of The Ultimate
right.
Fighter. And they're doing these real specific drills. And he said a cool thing that I think John Kavanaugh says. He said, this is upgrading your software without damaging your hardware. And there's two cool schools of thought, right?
Right.
There's that school of thought, like fight smart, train smart.
Sure.
And then there's a school of thought where you...
Hard
ride jet skis over the top of cliffs the day before you fight. Oh, we made weight. Let's go fucking swim with sharks.
You know?
Like, I mean, that's your school of thought. It's
yes.
sort of a different school of thought.
Very much so. Yeah.
How hard training sessions are you having in camp? Are you guys going full out?
Sure, sure. I mean, some days not. It
some
depends.
Days not.
So I may wake up on a Tuesday like I'm not feeling it, mm-hmm. and I'll go fucking wakeboard.
You just decided not train.
Yeah, I mean, I got all the guys, all my coaches right there, and they've been with me for so long that they just say, okay.
So, you know, a lot of people think that actually is a smart thing, that's active recovery.
If I'm sore and I'm tired, I'll call it. Today's not the day.
But you like to still do things, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we go rock climbing, wakeboarding.
Right, but if you think about that, like... So you're still working. You're still moving your body.
Right.
You're not taking a day and just sleeping.
Man, there's been, I don't know how many days in my life that I've just done nothing but slept. Look at today's day. I got off the plane, went surfing, trained old boy, and now I'm here.
That's
get home
just
at
your
midnight.
Thing. You're just always moving.
Running and a-gunning, baby.
I love it, man. I love it.
I mean, that's how I'm geared. And my friends have to take breaks. They tell me all the time, like, Cowboy, I got a week for you. After that, we got to tag team somebody else in because we can't keep this fucking pace. You're too much. You go, 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 go. Like, there's days that I'll train, wakeboard all day, and come back and train.
Wow.
You know? And just,
But you're enjoying it. So you're getting a rush the whole time.
So the way I look at life right now is I'm retired now. Because when I quit making money and it's time to proper retire, I'm not going to have any money. So going to Fiji and go scuba diving is not, oh, what's scuba diving? My favorite thing. I'm going 400 feet.
All you need is a good financial advisor. All you need is someone who you trust to take care of your money and handle shit and make sure you always.
And say
do.
What? Listen, and say what? The goddamn money?
Just,
that you,
if you can
have
just
you
stay
ever seen a hearse with
cowboy,
a trailer hitch?
This is what I'm saying. If you
have you ever
stay,
seen a hearse with a trailer
no.
hitch? All right.
But if you just stay being cowboy, we just need to figure out a way to get this out. You don't ever have to work again a day in your life. When you're
probably.
Done fighting, you're not going to be broke. You just need the right guy to steer you. You're a fucking...
I got my grandma. She. I call her all the time.
Maybe she's the gal.
She is.
Perfect.
I ask her what I should do, and she said, fucking ride it till the wheels burn off the motherfucker.
Just need to let
right.
people know you're out there. That's mm-hmm. all you need to do. I mean, what you've got, what you are, I mean, I'm not blowing you.
I'm retired
what
now.
What you are is like what everybody wants out of their superheroes. What
I mean,
you
why
are is what
retire,
everybody wants out of their...
Why retire when I'm 50?
This
and
is
I'm
what,
old as fuck and I can't wakeboard, but I'm trying.
When fans see a guy like, that's what everybody wants. They want a guy who's just living like a fucking wild man and going in there. There's something appealing to that. There's something appealing.
It's called live a life like worth living.
But there's something appealing to the Spartan too, right? There's something appealing to the guy who's willing to not have sex, shut out all distractions, put a fucking poster on his wall, write down his goals. Some Dan Gable type dude who's just stoic and fucking never ending and indomitable spirit. And this guy just doesn't do
now
anything bad
doorbell.
For
Bing
his body.
Dong. Hey, brother, you want to go fucking wakeboard with me? He's like, ah, oh, man, I'm fucking in the zone. And I'm like, what's the zone we were talking about when you're behind? No, that's not today. That's in your fight. Let's go have some fun today. And they don't. And I said, well, all right, I'm going to go have some fun.
It's a balance, right? It's trying to figure out what's the best way to do it. What's the best way to do it? Because like Dan Gable I brought up.
Did you play football?
No, never played football. Steered away from
so,
that shit.
Okay, so you hear the guys that are still 35, 40 years old mm-hmm. talking about that game
right.
that they had.
Yep.
I think that's what I search for every day. You know, like fighting is fucking, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I get it six times a year if I'm lucky. And this year I get it one time. So I think that's why I do the things I do, because it gives me that feeling that I'm searching for, that scared, what am I doing, oh my God feeling.
Well, you like proving yourself and you like
absolutely.
Adventure. And those are two things that a lot of people shy away from.
I mean, if
you know,
competition, if you came right now and said you're better bow hunter than me, I'd be able to set the motherfucking target
right.
and let's go. Let's do it. And
yeah.
that's just, I mean, so.
Well, that's also the only way you get good at anything.
True.
People shy away from that. There's only one way you get, you surround yourself with bad motherfuckers who are doing exactly what you do, and you force yourself to keep up. And you all inspire each other.
That is the problem in this sport, because I see that in the gym all the time. You see the guys. Sparring day comes or grappling day comes, you see all the guys finding the guy they know they can beat.
Mm-hmm.
They don't go after the guy that kills them.
Right.
Me, I want you, motherfucker.
Right.
I want...
You want the toughest challenge?
Are you the baddest dude?
You want...
Let's go. Fuck me
you
up.
You want the one that's going to stir you up inside.
Yes, fucking burn me. Where you right. submit me three times in 5 minutes, not going to happen again. Because, you know what I mean? That's how I think. You fucking fuck me up.
Right.
I'm calling my coach. He's like, I just got fucked up.
Right.
Let's fix this problem.
Right, right.
So that's, I mean, I want the guys that push me. I need those. I need that in my
life.
Well,
when you get to the level that you're at, too, you also realize that those guys that push you are the reason why you put in that extra effort that takes you to the top of your ability. And there's a few guys that we all know that never quite reach the top of their ability. Like, you hear about them in the gym. They're fucking on fire. They just have... You know, mm-hmm. they have days where they're world beaters, and for whatever reason, they don't ever get it together in the moment of crisis.
The gym heroes.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
absolutely. This sport is unbelievable, man. It's like you have to be able to go out there and fight at your best every single day.
And you have to execute under insane pressure. That's the most admirable quality about it. You know, like sometimes when I look around, like that was one of the craziest things about Ronda's fight. Was after she knocked out Betch Gohea, she just strutted around the cage and looked up at everybody, just took it all in. She strutted. She sure. just face planted that chick on a Straight Outta Compton ad. Okay, I mean she really did.
Which the movie was fucking unbelievable.
I didn't see the movie.
You haven't seen the movie?
No, I didn't see the movie.
It's great.
I'm sure it's great.
It's great.
But the fact that she face planted her on that and then just walked around, like that moment, who the fuck understands that moment but her? Who or you or anybody who experiences it? You know, the moment where, you know, think of like the Edson Barboza fight when you crack him with that jab and then take his back. Like that moment when
sure.
he taps and you stand up and the whole crowd goes fucking apeshit because it was chaos up mm-hmm. until that moment, right? He came out guns blazing, then you caught him with that jab, he went down, you got his back and strangled him. That moment, man, when you were in the fire.
In that moment, Barbosa says he blinks. But in that moment, about 20 seconds before that moment, I know I got him.
How'd you know?
Because he hit me with fucking everything he had in the kitchen sink. And when he unloaded, bing, 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 kicked me as hard as he could. And I just stood there and he looked at his corner and was like, now what? I was like, gotcha. So,
wow. So you saw a moment of thinking. A moment of contemplation.
I got it. Like, gotcha.
He's a talented motherfucker.
Super talented, absolutely.
That switch kick that he was hitting Paul Felder with was the fastest switch kick I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen anybody throw it like that. Hard and fast, like Jesus fucking Christ. Well, Paul's, Mark Henry and
Paul's
him.
A ginger, so it's showing a little bit more than
it was. He would be a black dude. He could be black like Chuck Congo. You would have been impressed by that kick. That kick was insane.
Right.
He's so fast, man. And that his coach, Mark Henry, that's a guy who's like one of the most underappreciated guys in the sport.
And after the fight, they came and said, man, we studied Paul to a T. We took this fight so serious, you know?
Dude, he's a wizard, that guy. He's an unsung. He's like a really quiet guy. He doesn't want a lot of attention. But I admire the fuck out of the way that guy coaches Frankie Edgar, the way that guy like.
How about Connor and Frankie? I love Frankie.
Ooh, I love that.
Have
fight.
You ever seen? Have you ever seen the guy when he goes, "Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you're cool," and "Fuck you"? That's what I feel like what happened at the press conference, because all it said to Frankie was, "You're welcome." That was it.
Yeah.
So I feel like the fuck you're cool, and fuck you. That's what would happen. That's because.
Because Frankie,
the ability of level change that he puts with his box,
his pace Frankie. Too.
I love Frankie.
Frankie will set a guy. You got to run an ultra marathon with him. You got to be willing to go to the depths of your ability. And there's a guy that fought at 55, undersized, and won the fucking title.
Always crazy.
Won the title undersized. He was so much smaller than BJ. So much smaller than a lot of the guys he beat. Had those tough fights with Henderson. I mean, he's a that fight with Cub Swanson, I was like, good Lord, that fucking pace he puts on people. He's like, he's taking it to the next level. When I talk about guys who put paces, like that wrestler's break you pace.
Right.
Nobody like Frankie right now in the sport. He's the epitome of that style of fighting. Maybe Weidman could show it too in some fights if he gets the right opponent.
How do you feel about the Weidman?
It's a crazy fight. Rockhold's a bad motherfucker. That's a crazy fight.
Rockhold.
Rockhold's jiu-jitsu is nasty, man. The way he controlled Lyoto Machida, I was impressed as fuck. I was like, Jesus Christ, his ground and pound, his control on the ground. He beat Lyoto Machida at every facet of the game. And that was impressive as fuck to me. That was a high-profile fight. It was a big fight. That impressed the fuck out of me. You know, I think it's a great fight. Weidman's a monster, man. What do you think? You're laughing.
No, Rockhold's a dear friend of mine, so
I love that dude.
I mean, he's out of Khabib's camp. He's only.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
I know.
I like him.
I know about all that.
Great dude. But,
well, Khabib, you know, there's always going to be that thing going on between all you guys at the very top.
Sure.
You know?
Why not? Stir in the pot.
But again, like a guy like Khabib. You kind of need that motherfucker. That guy's he's like a tank of propane out there for you. You know? Well, he's going to heat that gym.
That's
what I mean?
He's going to heat that gym.
That's the guy. Like, because he's so fucking good. I mean, you look at the way he manhandled Dos Anjos. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Khabib Nurmagomedov is a grappling motherfucker. His wrestling, as someone who, like, appreciates the guy's ability to impose his game plan,
sure,
he impresses the fuck out of me.
Absolutely.
That guy's a giant tank of propane for Cowboy.
That's it.
That's what a crazy way to make a living, man. You got all these tanks of propane out there. Anthony Pettis.
That's it.
He's another propane tank.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Anthony said, Cowboy, if you need me to come down and train you for Dos Anjos, I hate that motherfucker.
Really?
I'll be there.
Wow.
I said, Pettis, I might just hit you up on that.
Wow. That would be a good thing, man. He can give you some insight.
Absolutely.
I love that dude.
So do I. I mean, again, with Pettis, I got nothing bad. I really don't have anything bad to say about any of the guys up at the top, you know? It's just...
Well, you know what, man? Ultimately, outside of you guys competing against each other, you admire what it... Because you uniquely know what it takes to be in the position.
Absolutely.
That an Anthony Pettis or a Rafael Dos Anjos or Nate Diaz or, you know, fill in the blank. All those guys, you uniquely know what it takes to be in... It's a very small fraternity.
Sure.
Of guys at the elite level. And your division, 155, is just chaos. Like, that whole division, he's like, look at it. It's just killer after killer after killer.
Right, absolutely.
Killers coming up. Fucking sharks just... That's what 155 is, like someone throwing a goat in the water in South Africa and watching a fucking sea of sharks.
Get it.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool to see that you guys, you know, reasonably are friendly with each other.
Absolutely.
Considering. You know,
so what do you think about your boy, the Irish Muppet coming up to 155?
Conor McGregor?
Yeah. McNugget.
What did you say about him, about kicking the lucky charms out of his ass?
He came up to 155, I bent him over and fucking knocked the lucky charms out of his ass.
I don't know how that works. It's like blowing on hot soup.
But you wouldn't believe the uproar
of the Irish community I got from that.
Well,
and I said,
you. Well, I'd be more shocked. What if they didn't respond? I'd be more nervous. I'd be like, it was
me
my
talking
joke
shit
bad?
About a leprechaun.
Right.
Is like you talking to me bad about Santa Claus. Like, I would, like, you went there? Like, come on. You know what I mean?
Is a leprechaun like their sacred guy?
It's like a unicorn. Yeah, right. I don't know what it is, but a leprechaun is.
It's a weird
fictional.
One.
Fictional.
But it's totally. Well, it is unless you take the right amount of mushrooms. You can meet leprechauns.
So, I mean, to me.
That's where it came from, you know.
Connor is the leprechaun sitting on a big old tub of gold.
He is, right? Absolutely. He's got a pot of gold for sure.
So if you think I'm not going to come after that pot of gold, I'm going. Why not? Come
of
to
course.
155. I got open arms, baby.
It would be a fun fight.
I'd love it.
I think he really struggles to make 145, and I think with this new law where you can't use the IV, you know, when he fought Chad Mendes, man, at the weigh-in, he looked extremely drawn. His cheeks were sucked in. His body looked really small. Like, Uriah and him had some weird little altercation in the hallway.
Right. Staged.
And it wasn't staged, but Uriah's not, like, he didn't want to fight in the street with him right before he's going to fight Chad.
I wish a motherfucker would.
I know you do, but... But what Uriah said was that he said, dude, he feels really small. Like, he loses a lot of weight.
Sure.
I think he loses, like, close to 30 pounds or 25 pounds. He gets up to, like, 170 in the 170 range.
Sure.
So 155 is where he belongs, really. You know, that's probably the healthy weight class for him.
And how you feel about Aldo and him?
It's a wild fight. It's a wild fight. You know,
can he deal with the kicks?
I tell you what, man. Aldo has been around
for so long. This is a jumping in. We're jumping from guns to religion to pre-biblical.
We're just talking, man.
Right.
That's how it goes.
We're jumping.
This isn't like a radio show
like
or anything.
Like a kangaroo fucking Australian cunt. Yeah, fucking.
The whole thing, man. Budweiser. We're
Budweiser.
In there. Weed. I think if you
Callan
look at
Callan says
Aldo,
he's locked out. Did you lock the fucking door?
Callan's out there?
Yeah. I'm going to get him.
Is he out there right now?
Yeah. You got him?
Is he really? Jamie will go get him.
He said I'm locked out.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Tell him we're coming.
Yeah, don't worry.
I love this dude.
I'll give him a key. Shit. He's done podcasts here without me. He's one of the few guys. Him and Brendan Schaub, they had a Fight Companion podcast. But what were you just saying? What the fuck were we just talking about?
We were talking about leprechauns.
Oh, no, the Aldo fight. Oh, look who it is, ladies and gentlemen.
This sexy
my
bitch.
My man. Brian Callen has just unexpectedly showed up.
Whatever,
we have
man.
A big show tonight at the Ice House.
Yes, we do. What time do I have to be out of here?
We're good, man. We'll leave here like in a half an hour or so.
Fantastic.
It's just you and me. It's like the show can't start without us.
That's true.
Look at this.
Look at how tan Donald is.
We're doing the Ventura, what is it, the Hong Kong?
We're going to be at the Hong Kong Inn. We got two shows at 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock. I think we're headlining the festival or something.
There's a festival? Damn.
I guess it's
the
Ventura
Chinese Restaurant Festival?
Yeah, the Ventura Comedy Festival.
Who booked? You didn't even know. I let him book things.
Why not? He likes money.
I know. They pay us money.
I love money.
What's going on, buddy?
We're just talking about Aldo versus McGregor. We're talking about, he asked me what I thought about that fight.
Yeah. I'm curious.
I'm curious about the sexy cow and the hammer.
Sexy cow and the hammer?
What do you mean?
What's that?
What do you mean, the sexy cow and the hammer?
Where's the sexy cow and the hammer?
Nothing.
He's drunk.
It's
a little bit.
It's code.
It's just a little booze.
Well, I want to know, what do you think? I think McGregor's in his head.
He might be, but he might not be. Aldo might be able to fight like a fucking assassin, even under all the shit talking. No one's ever shit talked him before, so we don't know. We don't know how he's going to fight. But we know the guy hasn't lost in 10 years.
We know
the guy's been beating some of the best guys in the world. And if you look at him when he's on point, you look at like his fight with Uriah, for instance.
Yeah.
Some fucking terrifying leg kicks.
Sure.
Fast as shit.
Yeah.
Fast as shit. And his jiu-jitsu, world class. His jiu-jitsu is very high level. You know, he beat Cobrina in regular jiu-jitsu, a regular jiu-jitsu competition.
He's a beast.
He's a very good fighter in all aspects, one of the best ever.
I feel like he's in his head. I know that trash talk wouldn't work on Don Cerrone.
But we were talking about that earlier. You're coming in too late for this conversation.
You're already talking about this stuff.
We already went over it. You're talking about the Nate Diaz fight. That
we're
did
jumping.
Talk
we're jumpers here. We jump.
Time travel.
We time travel.
Time travel. I like it.
We come and go. And
it's a great fight. But you got to – also, I got to – be honest, like I look at Aldo, and even though Aldo has been dominant for so long, he's one of the best fighters, he's had a lot of tough fights.
Yeah.
And those eventually will catch up to you.
Yeah.
It's like the Chad Mendes fight, the last fight was a really good fight. It was like a back and forth fight, and Mendez hit rounds. Him with some fucking bombs. It was a great back and forth fight, and he tagged Mendez with a big shot at the end of the first round. I think the buzzer rang, and then he hit him. Like it was a little late. It wasn't egregious, but it was a little late, and it fucked Mendez up, and Mendez still came back and cracked him. It was a back and forth war. It was a very close fight.
Has Aldo fought anyone who hits as hard as McGregor?
Well, Chad Mendez hits pretty fucking hard, but I think Conor may have some special power, not like a magic power, but I think he's one of those guys that just really has super heavy hands.
He's also accurate as hell, right?
He's just very smart, man. The way he fights is very, very intelligent. You know, I was joking around with Donald about his training methods that he calls it, him and John Kavanaugh's coach, they described it as upgrading your software without damaging your hardware. So they're doing all these like really technical drills on hitting specific points, but they're not like crushing each other.
Yeah.
They're just drilling it into the mind and getting, and you know, and Donald has more of a wild style.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Who's out there?
Driver. I feel like Donald's changed. I feel like you stand in people's grill more now. You just stand right there like you can give a shit.
You know how fucking cool this is? My two of my favorite comedians in one fucking room. I'm like, do you know how many people kill for this situation right now?
Donald Cerrone was in the crowd when I taped my Comedy Central special in Denver.
Well, the first time I met Donald, he came. I met him the night before, then he came, and I just saw his hat going back and forth as he was laughing.
Dying.
I just saw your hat. It was the greatest.
I had a 9-pack after I left the show. Joe, you know what I'm going to do for you?
What are you going to do?
You have fucking VCT in your fucking bathroom in there.
VCT?
Yeah,
what is that?
The shitty cheap tile you got in there.
The tile?
Yeah.
On the floor?
On the floor. And the shitty paintbrush.
But this
isn't job
mine.
In there.
This is like a lease.
I'm going to come in here and fucking hook. I'm not going to pull a permit and I'm going to fucking.
Don't.
Are you just going to lay tile?
I'm moving out of here anyway.
I'm going to lay tile. I might bite the tile to cut it.
That's great.
I'm getting a new spot.
New spot.
Yeah.
It's a great spot.
Yeah.
I'm
never satisfied. I have real problems. I'm never happy with anything.
No. I'm the same way. I don't know
what it is.
You're worse than me.
I'm the worst. Like if I'm
always moving.
Almost happy with everything. Unhappy with everything I do.
Yeah, I'm always that way.
Is that a mummy dancing with a wolf?
No, that's a werewolf fucking a gorilla in the ass.
That's exactly what that is.
Oh, I got it.
I had a dream.
Here.
I wish I knew the
there
dude who made that.
That's. I hope you howl at the moon every time you're in that position.
Yeah,
that would be a big woman. If you could grab the back of her shoulders like that, either have a whopper of a dick, or that's a really big woman.
I had sex. I had an affair with a girl who was on the Canadian national water polo team.
Oh, Jesus.
She had a back on her, and she had a neck, and but she had a really nice body, and she was really pretty. And her hands. Go ahead, man. You're so strong.
You're not even drinking.
Damn. Her hands. What threw me off was just the knuckles, the thickness of her fingers as we would hold hands. I was like, boy,
whoa.
I feel like a dainty young lady.
Do you know who Gabby Garcia is?
So what you're saying is your dick looked shamelessly tiny in her hands.
No, what I'm saying
is her dick was way bigger than mine.
Kids got a hog on him.
I got a hog on me.
There's a woman named Gabby Garcia, still is, but she used to be overweight, and she's like world jiu-jitsu champion, and she used to have this giant crazy face. Well, she lost all her body fat, and then I guess she might have had some facial surgery, but all of a sudden she's a giant hot chick. It's real weird. She's got a full six pack. Like, pull up Gabby Garcia
I've seen her before.
Listen,
she was a house.
I don't know what she did, but whatever she did, that took a lot of fucking work.
Yeah.
Because she, like, she went from being a big, giant, fat woman who's a beast at jiu-jitsu, but she was very overweight, to being super slim. Like, she always has these exposed midriff shirts, and she's rocking this fucking ridiculous six-pack. She's just 6'4".
She's
6'4"? Fuck yeah, Johnny Cash. My dog's named Johnny Cash.
I love it.
How do you not?
We're jumping again.
Where do you spend most of your time? Colorado?
Yeah. New Mexico. But I'm going to see Grandma tomorrow. She's listening live right now. Tell her hello.
Hey, Grandma. How are you? You never know what to say to grandmas. You know what I mean? Hey, Grandma. How are you?
Grandma comes backstage.
See, this is what she looks like now. That's what she used to look like.
That's impressive as hell. That's a different person.
Yeah, it totally looks like a different person.
She had
a neck and the other one.
I don't know if she had facial surgery, but it seems like she did.
She is just a true specimen. Look at that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's weird.
So you would.
She's giant, too. I mean, she's like 6'4". Like, there's a picture of her with Fedor.
That's crazy.
Like, holy fuck. She's so much bigger than him.
And look at her now.
See if you find a picture of Gabby Garcia and Fedor. Wow. It's like a real
and
recent picture.
She's dwarfing Wanderlei Silva there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. That was when they were on the like, Ultimate Fighter Brazil. But here's the thing,
Wanderlei looks like she won him in a carnival.
That was only a couple of years ago, dude. It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
It just was really simple, really similar, recent.
How many beers have you had?
I've had a few. Far right.
Shredded.
On top.
Shredded.
Bam. Look at that. That's her. Look at that body.
Look at Donald. Yeah, that's a big girl. Is that her boyfriend? Oh, that's Fedor.
That's Fedor, dude.
Dude, how dare you, Fedor.
Is that her boyfriend?
I hear he's looking good.
Well, he's back. He's making a comeback. He's going to fight in Japan. The problem is there's no fucking opponents for him.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know who the hell else is. Like, Sergey Karatanov. I'll fight him. Sergey Karatanov.
How much time would you need to fight Fedor?
I'm like the kid in the fat kid in Dodgeball. Pick me.
How much time would you need to fight Fedor?
Tomorrow.
He's amazing.
For real?
I have 100%.
Wow, God.
If he walked in right now, through the fucking ape getting fucked by a werewolf on the ground, I'll get up and fuck Fedor up. Not a doubt in my mind.
Wow.
You would just fight him.
Yeah.
I'm scared of Russians. I'll say it right now.
So am I.
I'm scared.
Why? Because of ISIS?
For everything. Did you see this new thing with Putin? Putin took $15 billion from this guy, stole this guy's company, and then the guy's exiled in the south of France, and now he's suing the Russian government. He's trying to sue to get his money.
Good luck with that.
This guy, they took $15 billion. He was like Putin's banker.
Wow.
He was like Putin's right-hand man for years, and now this guy is like...
$15 billion.
Yeah, he's penniless.
Billion. And the guy said, I always say a billion seconds is 33 years.
The guy says that Putin is the most wealthy man in the world.
Yeah.
He said he has more control over more money than anyone on the planet. Like,
yeah.
He might not be on paper, but they're saying that he might be worth like $200 billion.
Well, because Russia is a one-crop economy. It's all oil.
Yeah.
Guess who controls it? You don't do anything without that.
He's a czar, though. How is he doing
Russian
that?
Russian politics has always been that way. It's always been run by a czar. It's always been run, really, by a group of... You know, he used to be the Politburo, but for the most part, he's just doing what the old Russian model was, which was get the biggest guns on my side and I'll kill him.
Well, but there was a story about 2015. I mean, isn't it crazy when you see a guy who's running, like, essentially a complete undercover gangster organization?
It's a monarchy.
Dominating an entire country.
He apparently, when they were trying to attract investment in the 90s, the problem was American companies, German companies, French companies coming in, and these gangsters... These Russian guys would come in and go, hey, you got to pay us money. And a couple of them said no, and they just shot him right there in the office.
Oh.
So Putin decided this was going to be a disaster for any kind of foreign investment. Mm. So Putin said, all right, well, I know how to deal with this. We know exactly where they are. And when they were having the mafia guys hang out together in their own clubhouses or whatever,
right.
He had these Spetsnaz guys show up in their vans. They just show up in the middle of the day, open up, and just killed a shitload of them, like 100, 200 in one day. They had a moment of silence, apparently, before he had his meeting. They had a moment of silence for the 200 citizens that were killed, and they went on their business. And that was the message to anybody who said, you want to shake down foreign companies, see what the fuck happens. They still didn't invest. Though, but he doesn't.
He's a scary dude.
Around.
Donald Cerrone will fight him tomorrow.
Tomorrow,
yeah, he would.
Tonight.
He's a black belt in judo.
Whatever.
I'm a black belt in street.
You're a black belt in everything.
In a hood.
Everyone's from a street. I hate that expression.
Donald, if you had to fight
the street,
who's not from the street? I was born in the meadow.
Are you?
I grew up in the river.
I'm not from the street.
I'm not from the street.
Silver spoon in my mouth. And
there's no roads where I live, bro.
No roads.
I'm in the forest.
Who do you want to punch in the face more than anybody on the planet?
Are you interviewing him or am I?
I'm just curious, man. I'm taking over right now. I'm taking over.
The guy from Whole Foods.
Shitty fucking question.
Hey, with your shitty questions. The guy from Whole Foods.
It was a previous story because a guy punched him. Whole Foods parking lot.
You're late.
You're fucking late.
You told me that story.
Well, what made you decide to come over here?
He was texting me.
Oh, why didn't you tell me that you were texting him?
Because I thought it would be more appealing to have three...
Well, why don't you
just
tell me?
Two of my favorite people in the world.
He's one of my favorite people, too. You just had a break. He's making secret texts while we're in the middle of a
like
podcast.
Like a couple lovers.
He's calling.
Come on over.
Come on over.
Come crash this party.
He said the door's locked.
Woo! I'll send someone right in.
I'm locked out.
You want a key? You can have a key to this place.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just to hang out.
Sure. Okay.
Play pool. Just make sure werewolf and bear. Bat. Do people know about the badass werewolf you have outside?
Yeah. There's pictures of it. It used
Pretty
to be,
sick.
I before I got the pool table, it used to be the werewolf was the first thing you saw when you opened the door. And I was like, I need to put a go cam.
That was
the
first thing
the
I saw when I came in. I was like, werewolf, cool. Yeah. Oh, pool table.
That thing is scary.
Do Do you play pool? You must play pool.
I do. I have a pool table in the bar at the ranch. See, I have a bar that I built.
But damn.
I have every alcohol you could ever believe of.
But
because I don't want
ever Budweiser.
Someone to come over. But yeah, kegs, boxes, cases. I don't want you to come over and say, "Come and pour me this," and I not have it.
Damn. That's gangster.
See, this gets to you psychologically because I know your background, like how you grew up, and you're creating like this environment at that ranch that's not just like a training environment, but a place where like you're trying to give these guys hospitality and bring them into like a family situation.
It's a lot like Neverland Ranch that.
Neverland.
We're a bunch of boys coming hang out.
Not as much boofooing.
Not as much Jareding is what they're calling it today.
Not as much boy play. Yeah, how about Jared? Yeah.
So
yeah, but you know what I'm saying? It's like because you know your grandparents raised you and you're a wild kid and you know you didn't feel like you had like that thing when you were talking earlier about trainers that wouldn't put their name on you. Now you're doing the total opposite of that.
The total opposite, absolutely.
I appreciate that, man.
Absolutely, the total opposite. And yeah, if guys call me, they're like, "Yeah, I can afford it." I said, "Don't worry about it. I got you. Let's go."
So what do you do there? What's the ranch?
You're coming in late, bro.
Jesus, bad motherfucker ranch.
He built it. Grandpa bought some property. Happiest moment of his life. Tears almost came to his eye during the podcast. Builds a place. Doesn't get permits. Fucks up because he has the bunk bed set up. Oh, shit. Now what do we do? Now
jumping.
People are sleeping in a barn. Keep propane. If you keep the propane on, it costs $1,500 a night. This is a lot of work.
You're learning all this stuff.
He doesn't have any power out there, man. He's getting tanks of flammable liquid. And he's shooting guns everywhere.
That's safe.
The whole thing is ridiculous.
So safe.
He shows me all these guns he's got.
Do you know if you shoot a propane tank with a gun, it will not blow up?
Is that true?
Absolutely true.
In the movies, it does.
In the movies, it will not blow up, though.
I had a Navy SEAL tell me when you throw a grenade, it doesn't. There's no fire. It just you just hear pop and there's it's just smoke, which I was amazed at.
Well, that's annoying. What about the Chuck Norris movies where there's always an explosion?
Is Chuck Norris still the coolest dude alive or no?
I met him and I was more happy than I've been when I met anybody ever.
In Expendables, he had a great dye job.
First time I met
Chris Hansen,
upset.
I was pretty happy.
Chris Hansen? You met him in the right spot. He could be. He'd be like, "I'm so nice to meet you here in public in a bar instead of in a fucking hotel room with a 14-year-old.
Exactly.
Back to Chuck Norris. I met him in the World Combat League. Remember, he used to have that kickboxing organization?
Yeah. In the dome.
They fought in a bowl.
Bowl.
Yeah. I met him there, and just the fact that Chuck Norris knew who I was and gave me a big hug. I was like, "God damn
it!" He didn't put his boot up to your face and be like, "Read the bottom of my boot." What's it say?
He had the shoelace crotch thing. Remember those kickboxing pants? The shoelace.
Texas Ranger motherfucker.
Well, I remember Superfoot Wallace used to have jeans that he advertised in like the back of comic books.
Yeah, well, Chuck Norris did too. It was Chuck Norris, I think, more than Superfoot.
Chuck Norris has posters.
Yeah.
Of badass shit that you have to think about if your life is that cool.
Yeah,
of Chuck Norris.
Yep.
He's a super nice guy too, man.
I mean,
there was a banquet for a karate guy who was a famous karate instructor, and he was one of Chuck Norris's friends. So I sat in on the. They wanted me to sit and like give a speech. Like everybody gave speeches. Like all these old school black belt guys gave speeches, and Chuck Norris gave a speech. I just sat next to Chuck Norris and talked for like an hour and a half. We just talked about the old days of the karate tournaments and the old days of kickboxing and, you know, what it was like to hang out with Bruce Lee. It was one of the best moments of my life.
Wow. You didn't hit him with any Chuck Norris lines? Like, Chuck Norris doesn't do push-ups. No. He pushes the earth away from him.
How many push-ups does Chuck Norris do?
All of them?
You know what? Why not? That would have been like an opening line.
I just knew, first of all, how many times do you ever get a chance to sit and actually right next to Chuck Norris in a public setting?
That's how I feel at this moment right here. That's how I feel at this moment
too,
right now.
We feel the same way.
So I'm sitting next to him, and it's just me and him talking. You know, just me and Chuck Norris right next to each other for like a fucking hour. I was like a little kid. I saw Missing in Action in the fucking movie theater. Lone Wolf McQuade. I was there for all those movies, dude.
Bro, I panicked. I've panicked two times with celebrities that were really big. I met Al Pacino, and I was talking to him, and I was like, "Just be cool, Brian, be cool, be cool. Don't be an idiot. Don't be spaz. I'll spaz out sometimes." And
were
I
you
go,
looking at yourself from a third person view?
Kind of. Well, I was just kind
of. That was earlier,
he's in the zone.
He's in the zone.
I was more staring at him, and I was just like, he had a bandana on, and he looked so cool. And he was 70,
so
but he looked
cool.
He looks amazing. He's
How
ageless.
How are you, Brian?
Yeah.
Where are you from, New York?
That's a good fucking Al Pacino. Great,
yeah.
Never done it before.
That's very good.
My first time ever.
Was that similar to what it was like?
And I went like this, and I kill myself. I heard the words coming out of my mouth, and I was like, Brian, stop, you're saying anything. I go, you know what's funny? I go, don't say it, Brian, don't say it. And I said to him, I go, I just watched Scarface. It was on TV. I was like, no. But my face was saying it. And then I go, I looked at him and he went like this. He goes, oh boy. And that's all he did. And he hugged me. He goes, all right. He shook my hand and he put his shoulder against my chest. I was like, oh, that's the coolest way to ever do anything. I was like, see you later. Then I meet Springsteen backstage. I talk to him for a while. I talk to his wife. I'm a huge Bruce Springsteen fan. 6 months later, with my dad in a bookstore in Idaho, in Sun Valley, Idaho. And I hear his wife say, hi, how are you? And I go, oh, Patty. Hi. She goes, what are you doing? And I go, how's Bruce? Thinking I know him because I talked to him for like, an hour.
Yeah.
She goes, ask him yourself. He's right here. And I turn, he's looking at a book I since read called Fiasco. I remember he had his glasses on. And I go, how you doing? And he goes, I met you. We talked backstage. And all of a sudden I realized I folded my arms, but for whatever reason, my fucking arms were really high and my elbows were pointed right at him. And in my mind, I was like, Brian, please let go of your arms. Don't do this. What are you doing? And I go, and this is what I did. I go, did you ski? And he goes, usually we do, but this year we just let the kids do it and we're just sitting, And I went, and I meant to say, I've been skiing all day. My feet are killing me and I'm not going to ski anymore. That's what I meant to say. I've been skiing all day. My boots are shitty. I don't want to ski anymore. And instead I went, with my fucking arms like this, I go, my feet are killing me. And he just looked at me and there was a pause. I go, I'll see you guys later, man. And I've never lived that down. I just felt exactly. But I'm sure they deal with that shit all the time. Just holding myself like that.
Did you just have that same moment right now? Like during this podcast? You
feel like I feel embarrassed
in the middle
right now
of what you're doing?
I feel embarrassed.
Hey, do you guys get people when you take pictures that are trembling out of fucking control?
Yeah, sometimes that happens.
I know.
But
you know sometimes what? He does.
I've had a lot of nervous moments in my life. I appreciate nerves.
Me
it's
too.
No big deal. You know, you can't help nerves.
The guy with the camera, and he's like, get the fucking camera working.
Yeah. I fuck with people. Come on, bitch. What are you doing? What the fuck is with the fucking camera? Hurry up.
Get an iPhone, son.
Yeah. I fuck with them, but I don't.
You deal with that.
Oh, man. So the greatest domestic disputes that you will ever witness in your life is on a boat ramp. I don't know if you guys have ever been on a boat ramp.
No.
But either the wife is driving the boat and the husband in the pickup and he's trying to fucking guide her on. Left, look, no, back it up.
No.
Or she's trying to snake the trailer down and he's sitting in the boat screaming at her snaking the trailer down while 30 other boats are trying to dock. It's,
Damn.
Oh, that seems
it's
like
a moment.
That's interesting, though.
Next time I'm there, I'm gonna periscope it because it is
I never thought of that.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
I just thought the boats were always in the water somehow.
Man, you know who knows a lot.
It's the getting. It's the 4:30. They've been drinking all day.
Right.
Time to get the fuck out of
the
water.
Yes.
That the domestic dispute happens, and it is.
Mm.
It's classic.
They say there and when and realtors see a lot of dark shit between couples as they're looking for houses deciding what they want, where they can't afford a fucking house.
But she wants the house?
Oh, yeah.
Why is it the she that always wants it?
Dude, yeah. I had a conversation with my buddy about this recently. He was talking about how his girlfriend hates where
they live.
There's
the fucking stripper voice
again. She wants a fucking house.
Pep it up.
What? That's not a stripper voice.
You went from interacting
to... I know a dude who's fucked. And I feel bad.
He's just bringing it down.
Poor dude is
he's
in some situation where the girl wants him to live over his means,
Oh,
and
boy.
It gets weird, when she's like, we need a better house. We need to get a better house.
Yeah.
And he can't really afford a better house. So he's scrambling.
Well,
that's a bad place to be.
A woman I know is a realtor said they were looking at this house that was like $6 million in New York City apartment for $6 million, and they
probably about 1,300 square feet,
something crazy, yeah,
no yard,
and
no
she
parking.
Said she, her friend
so
had
the
a,
ranch,
her friend had an apartment that was $10 million.
Scrim jar.
Yeah, I mean it's crazy. You can buy like a nothing for
Meanwhile, he shoots guns in his yard right off his fucking toilet.
Missed that too. We got a fucking new silencer.
You're gonna say I want really?
Yeah,
he's got a bench rest on his toilet. He's just looking out the window in case a stray antelope.
No, I don't shoot fucking big game.
He doesn't shoot big game, sir. It's illegal.
Birds. I'm a bird man.
You're a bird man?
Bird man.
Just any bird. They insult you with their freedom.
Just a poor, poor overpopulated bird.
So she goes, she was showing them the house, and she said, I have another place. It's just a little too, you know, it's a little bit out of your price range. And it was $8 million. And this girl's friend had a $10 million house. And she looked at her husband and went, how could you fucking do this to us? As in, you don't have enough money.
Got him.
And he went, instead of going, see you later, he went, sorry.
Oh, my God.
How about that, man? That's how people live sometimes.
Well, that's people that, if they don't have any other interests other than materialistic things, then you that's what you chase.
Yes.
And there's a real problem with that in this fucking city. There's a real problem with people that are only chasing that.
Yes.
And they're not looking at the big picture of life. They're defining themselves by how much money their house costs, how much, you know, what neighborhood they're in, what kind of car they're driving. All that stuff is them. And there's no other stuff. There's no MMA
society
career. There's
looks
no stand-up
at that.
Comedy. There's no
society looks at that. If you show up and you're living in your school, kids go to this school, and you live in this area, and you drive the Range Rover, that's your
status.
You know what,
status is very important.
Yes, but
people.
I think that term society, I think that term's changing.
Pre-biblical status.
Well, because of the internet, people like there's a bunch of people that don't think like that, and now they can all agree. Whereas before, what was put out in front of you was what was on commercials, what was you saw the hero have in the movie. Burt Reynolds has a Trans Am. I fucking need a Trans Am. Like, all that stuff was the only way we associated with ideas about items. But now, like, because of the internet, you'll talk to people that go, you know what, man? I live in a fucking trailer that I drive around in my truck, and I just go to different places and I climb mountains. That's like that Alex Honnold guy. He lives in a fucking van.
That's cool too,
and he'll find like fans, people that admire him because of that.
I think that some people who chase money, it has a lot of meaning. Some people were humiliated by being poor when they were kids.
Right.
Money it makes them feel powerful, safe, whatever. But like I was trying to isolate kind of the two times I'm the most happy, like the two things that matter to me the most. I think it's laughing with my friends. And getting better at something.
I thought it was coming with a finger in your ass.
And coming with a finger in my ass. Obviously, it's part of laughing with my friends.
So you're telling when you cash that fucking check and you see an extra comma in your bank account, you're not fucking just tickled pink?
I'm not really, but I'm weird that way, and he knows that.
He's so weird, he drives a fucking shitty car.
Yeah.
He drives this goofy fucking Volkswagen.
Like, I'm like,
dude,
nice
you
car.
Have money. You could have something that you drive that's a pleasure.
Yeah.
Like, you enjoy it, and it changes your transportation to a ride.
No,
like, you're on a Disneyland ride every day.
I like getting better at something and being a silly goose with my friends and a finger in my ass.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And if what?
Sorry.
Okay, we got to end this, man. We got to show
on
an
that
hour.
Note.
And on that note, Donald motherfucking Cowboy Cerrone, thank you, sir. I'm glad we did this.
So
we
am
can
I.
Do this anytime you're in town, man.
Look at the trifecta I'm sitting here.
We could do this
forever.
We could probably have about 100 of these easily.
Yep. Well, we'll see how everyone reacts. And
they fucking love it.
If we don't get at least a couple hundred YouTube comments, I'm fucking.
You're gonna get plenty of comments. Look, most people are gonna love it. You gotta What does the Bible say? You gotta separate the wheat from the chaff. Is that the Bible?
The wheat from the chaff.
Yes.
If you don't have a fucking sword, go and get one. Sell your cloak and get a better one.
Damn.
Is
right,
that what the
brother.
Bible says?
Yeah.
God damn it. They're selling swords in the Bible?
Yeah.
Sell your cloak and get one.
I don't remember that passage, but
sell
you
your cloak and get a sword,
it's
bitch.
There.
You know,
sell
your cloak. You know how pious Donald is.
I don't know. I'm
always making the cross.
I don't know if I'll
fights.
Ever own a cloak. I might go to the grave with no cloaks.
I want a cloak, man.
I'm thinking right now, I need some Dracula cloak.
I want to own a lot of land and walk around in my cloak.
Yeah.
And I want to just order my servants around.
Mm.
Bring me a coconut, two straws, and some shaved ice,
and
please.
I want pack llamas.
Oh. Yes.
So when I shoot animals in the woods, I can bring the pack llamas and they'll pack it out.
That's good. I want hamsters to feel in my hands, please.
I want a few guinea pigs around the house just in case I need to eat them like the people do.
Guinea
in Peru.
Pigs.
Just
they
kidding.
They keep them in the kitchen. They're all scrambled
really?
Around the kitchen. And
I just want
down
them
and
for petting.
And eat them.
I want them for petting and pressing against my genitals.
They apparently don't miss each other. They never like, where's Waldo? They don't give a fuck about Waldo. Are the peanuts out? Yes, they're good.
They say cats are like that. Cats could give a fuck about their owners.
Well, when their owners die, cats eat their faces.
Is that
true? Did you know that? Yeah, Big John McCarthy was telling me that.
What?
He said the worst thing you want to find is a guy who's been dead for a couple of days and he's had cats.
Damn!
Yeah, the cats just eat your face. When you stop giving them cat food, they just start eating you.
Whoa.
Yeah, whoa. They eat your face.
Wow. Fucking cats.
They'll eat your face for a long time, too, until you get really rotten. Yeah. When you get really rotten.
Is it because you're not there to feed them and they're hungry?
Yep. Your dog will fucking starve to death. Most dogs. Maybe you might be a cunt to your dog. Your dog might eat you, too. Mm. But most dogs will, like, sit there and they want their owner to wake up.
I have a fucking tortoise that I buy. He's going to live to be 200 years old.
Tortoises are man-eaters. Yeah. If you faint, they eat your face. And they attack your face.
Asshole first. Yep. You might wake up and you have no asshole.
They work in the asshole. They can only get their head so far.
I have narcolepsy. Don't eat my asshole. I'm fine, you fucking turtle.
They beak your asshole.
Can't they go a long time without food, too?
I don't know. I know snakes do.
If I call my wife and call him sick, I can come to the show tonight?
Fuck yeah.
Okay. Dude, come to the
show. Yeah, you can come for sure. Absolutely, man.
Come. Can I plug my date this weekend?
Okay, where are you
come, at? I'm going to be at the San Jose Improv.
Saturday, Sunday. One of my favorite places in the world. You know who lives near there? Luke Rockhold, Donald Cerrone's favorite person.
Can I plug my event?
Hell yeah. Yes.
Orlando, Florida, December 19th. And fucking new. And new. Champion of the motherfucking world.
I'll be there for my boyfriend, Donald Cerrone.
Best seat in the house.
Do you want to do the gig with me the night before?
Yeah, December 19th.
Yeah, the night before is. I'm doing the gig.
Orlando, Florida?
Of course.
Okay, tickets now. Yeah. I need those because I'm going to be there the night before.
Yeah, I'm 100%. Booking something. I'm booking some theater in there on Friday night. So we'll
now that we can't IV, I'll be out of there earlier.
Would you get nervous thinking about that date, or are you ready?
He's excited.
Born ready, bitch.
How dare you?
Badass.
He's full of Skull and Budweiser.
Look what happened with the Bar David Warner American fight. Round two. Smashed him. Coming.
Donald Trump is an American hay right now.
I wish I had a fucking $1 billion and a huge belt buckle. So
all right, we gotta end this. It's 7 o'clock. We gotta show
Dos Anjos, I'm fucking coming 19th, motherfucker, and new.
You heard him.
Loud.
I'll be rubbing.
Joe Rogan.
I'm rubbing my underwear.
In this bitch.
Donald Cerrone, motherfucker.
Donald, you'll hear this. Donald, get him kicking.
All right, we're out, folks. Thank you for tuning in. Much love. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Yeah. 3 hours, huh?